Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Before I jump into this week's episode with Danny Pellegrino, I want to take a minute and say thank you to all my patrons on Patreon. You guys make it possible for me to do this podcast every week. Your support of the pod allows me to fully immerse myself in the wild, dramatic, messy world of Vanderpump Rules. And for that, I am forever grateful. Not only does your support allow me to make this podcast bigger and better, it has allowed me to create two other podcasts. One of those is Babe, and the other one is kind of a newbie, but it's very near and dear to my heart, and that is Saving Sex and the City 3. If you guys haven't heard it, I urge you to check it out. The premise is I have a different guest on each week, and we create the movie on the pod, because as you may or may not know, it was unjustly and unfairly ripped away from us in 2017, and I refuse to let go. So check it out. Give it a listen. If you're an SATC freak, you will love, I promise. It is Saving Sex and the City 3, and it's available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever podcasts are podcasted. If you want to get involved and become a supporter of SUP, it's very, very easy to do. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast, and it is there that you can find all the details you need to get involved. For as little as a $1 per episode commitment, you'll have access to weekly bonus episodes. Currently, there are over 60 bonus eps, as well as recaps of seasons 1 and 2 of Vanderpump Rules. So that is a ton of content for not a ton of money. It's a very good deal. I promise there's so much for you to explore, and you won't be disappointed. If you're dying to have a piece of the podcast that you can take home with you to show your love for the pod, you can go to sexyuniquestore.com, and it is there that you will find tons of Vanderpump themed merch and podcast themed merch for sale, including the best-selling Vanderpump Rules is a Show for Geniuses sticker. I highly recommend buying one, putting it on your laptop, your car, or wherever you feel is the correct placement to broadcast your own personal genius taste to the world. Buy one for a friend. They make great gifts. There are Road to Sur posters. There's even a nod to Lindsay Lohan's infamous line, I feel like Putin that she uttered on her incredible show, Lindsay Lohan's Beach House. Lots of stuff to love there. www.sexyuniquestore.com. And in case you forgot, I'll refresh your memory. You can support this podcast by going to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. All right. Without further ado, I give to you this week's episode of Sup. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules. Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you. And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall. Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Got a girl with a friend, yeah, we both win. Hi, everyone. We're back. We're another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I'm Lara, your host, and I'm here with fellow podcaster, Lawler, genius pump head, Danny Pellegrino.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
So happy you're here. We're both podcasting about Lohan Beach House right now.
Yes.
Which, yes. I love, like, a mutual obsession with that show.
It's so, like, good and terrible. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I still, all these episodes, and I still don't know what their job is.
No.
Other than, like, whoring themselves out. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Are you on the same wavelength of, like, this is some sort of, like, sex work boot camp?
100%.
Okay, good.
But I do think there's nothing wrong with sex work.
Like, no.
I think that's fantastic. But I do have a problem with the fact that no one seems to know that they're doing the sex work.
Yeah. I think Janita kind of has moments where she is putting together what's happening and looks kind of terrified. But I thought that she was on the same page, but then I realized she's in a different book.
I like Janita's sunglasses, like her, those little sunglasses, the tiny lenses. Ugh, I live for it. And Kayla, I feel like, figured it out right away when she got there.
Oh, yeah. She's like a reality veteran. Mm-hmm. Like, she has that kind of Stassi blood where she's there to, like, play a role, mix things up.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing. She, like, got right in the mix, and I'm excited for where that's going. But she seems like the only one that's willing to go up against Lohan.
Yeah,
but all the Lohan stuff, it makes no sense. Like the Putin references, the Russia obsession, the champagne gun. I mean, there's so many. Remember when she had the electricity thing?
Oh, on her body? Like, which, wait, you revealed that you have that machine.
I do. Oh my god, did I text you? I texted you.
You were texting about it, and you're like, I have this, and I immediately got jealous and needed to know more.
I do. When I started my podcast, I was like editing a lot, and like I got really bad carpal tunnel. I was also like, I was writing and editing. And like I was using the computer way too much, and my arms were like sore all the time. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, oh, you have carpal tunnel on both arms. And so I had to like wear these things when I would, I'm fine now. I've learned to get it under control. I had to wear these like full like things on my arms, and then I had to get the ergonomic everything for my desk. And then it still was like not help. It was still, I was having very sore arms. And the doctor said to get those little, I forget even what they're called. It like sends little electric shocks. It's like an electric massager.
It's like an electric, but it like buzzes or electric currents your muscles.
Yeah.
Like as opposed to like just vibrating on them.
Exactly. And you can place them anywhere and they're great. I still use it like when I'm sore, if I work out, like if my legs are sore or something like that. I find it is good for like really targeted, like if you have soreness.
She just wears it on her entire torso. Yeah.
Also, I should say, I have like the cheaper version that was like from Amazon that, you know, hers looked like it could go all over her body. Like, didn't she have a bunch of them on?
She had like a full vest on. And I don't know what was happening like below the waist, but I like to imagine that it was like a wetsuit of just like electric currents coursing through her body. Mm-hmm. And normal people would feel kind of scared, but Lindsay feels peaceful enough to put her AirPods in and just like zone the fuck out.
Yeah, she feels best when she's being shook. She really does.
It takes so much energy making everyone else around her and in the world shook by her actions that she needs to then get like physically shook.
She also said, she's like, I feel like Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So she's so compelling to watch.
She exists, I think, in a different dimension than everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yet still manages to like be seen in our dimension. It's so bizarre.
It's very bizarre. Are you watching Dina on Celebrity Big Brother?
No, I have never gotten on the Celeb Big Brother train. Do I need to be?
You know, I really, I don't watch the other Big Brother. I've watched seasons of the other one, but I don't like follow it religiously, but I love Celebrity Big Brother. And I get to the point where I'm literally at night, like watching the live feeds on the CBS app. Like it's like that bad.
You get really down.
But I get really into it. And there's something like very voyeuristic about it. And Dina is so likable on it. And it's just not what I expected Dina to be. I know she was always like that fun mom, mm-hmm. but I'm just seeing this whole different side of Dina, and she's so like cute and lovable, and she seems so sweet.
Wow.
And I always just picture her more like hard-edged, cigarette smoking,
yeah,
you know, like that kind of tough
stage
tough broad,
mom.
You know, mm-hmm. and she just seems like a sweet, kind, she even seems like younger to me than Lindsay, which Lindsay, you know, Lindsay's been aged.
Yeah, she's been through it.
But Dina just seems, I don't know, something about her seems so lovable, which I wasn't expecting.
That's wild. Yeah. That's a twist I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, she's also being catfished. You know that.
She's being catfished. Yeah. She said that she's engaged to a man that she's never seen.
5 years they've been together. 5 years, but she's never seen each other. And he lives in San Francisco. It doesn't like he lives in another country.
Dina,
I know it's so sad. And everyone, like Tamar Braxton, was like, Dina, you fucking getting catfished.
And Dina's like, no, he's sweet. She's never even seen a picture of him.
She says she's seen pictures of him, but they've never FaceTimed because he doesn't use an iPhone. And they were like, everyone uses an iPhone. Like my 5-year-old, my 90-year-old mother, you know, everyone was like,
yeah,
every single person uses an iPhone. She's like, well, he doesn't have an Apple phone or whatever.
Or you could Skype.
Yeah,
no.
She said he can't or something, but she's convinced that, you know, he's not catfishing her.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need like a separate show. Dina needs her own spinoff.
I agree. Well, that's what's fun about the live feeds, because you can pick which camera you look at, which is such a sick and twisted thing. So like I will literally only watch Candy's live feeds or Dina's. You can choose which room of the house you want to follow.
Oh my God.
And so wherever like those two are, I'll try to follow that one. And they literally will have conversations about nothing.
Yeah.
And like last season I did it and I was just watching like the Hairspray girl, whatever her name was. Like I was watching
her. Was it Nikki Blonsky?
No, I wish.
Oh, she should do a Celeb Big Brother.
God, your mouth for God's
ears. Why hasn't she done that?
I don't know why. I've thought about this a lot.
Why is Nikki Blonsky like it living the life she's living right now? Can we talk about that really quick?
Let's like really dig into this. Like
because she lives like in a basement in New York. She has a pug that seems like it's on the verge of death. Mm-hmm. God bless its little soul.
Doing the cameos.
Doing
She's
the
making
cameos.
Hundreds of millions of dollars doing cameos at this point.
I think that is her primary source of income is through cameo, which she gives great cameos. She's a total professional. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a couple from her. Mm-hmm. I love both of them. But like, what's going on?
And why hasn't she dipped her toe into reality TV? Like, let's get her on Lohan Beach House as a VIP, whatever.
Please.
Ambassador.
She should just start her own beach house or like vacation
spot. Nikki Blonsky's
beach house. Nikki Blonsky's like Mississippi hoedown or something. And like anyone
would
die for that.
I would want to be one of the ambassadors for Nikki Blonsky's brand.
Yeah. I think like every celebrity like that is their career's kind of flamed out should just start a resort and mm-hmm. have like a beach house show.
And it doesn't even have to be a resort. Like Lindsay's doesn't seem to be a resort. It's like a pop-up
shop. It's like a highway
kiosk. Nikki Blonsky's Mississippi kiosk. Like I'd watch that show.
Nikki Blonsky's parking lot, like Home Depot parking lot.
There's just like, in the background of every scene, there's someone collecting the carts at Home Depot.
Yeah, there's like lumber kind of going back and forth. Nikki Blonsky's lumber yard. Like it could be
fuck me.
Anything.
I would watch that so hard.
Yeah, and like, but what is it? Does she have like an opioid addiction?
Something's like, going. I mean, I don't know. I don't.
She
who
lives,
are we to speculate? But it's something's going. But let's speculate. Something's going on.
Because like
she DMs me sometimes.
Get out.
She just did like, I know.
I DM'd her once to see if she wanted to be on the podcast. And I was like, because she watches Vanderpump Rules. Like she has a lot of opinions about them. And
did
so
she
I was like,
back?
No, I was like, you're my queen. Like I've gotten cameos from you. Like, I love you. Like, would you ever want to be on this podcast? And then I don't think she ever wrote back. Maybe I need to check. What if
you
she
know
did?
That she did my show.
She did?
Wait. Oh my God.
I didn't know this.
Oh my God. I have to tell this story really quick. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. This is important.
Okay. Okay.
We need to discuss.
So she was scheduled to come. I DM'd her. Like, this was right when I started my podcast.
Yeah.
And I DM'd her. I was like, will you please do my show? And then she agreed to it. We set up a time directly with each other on DM. And then I went, it was a phone interview. It wasn't even in person. It was like a phone thing. I called her at the time we scheduled and she goes, hello. And I was like, hey, it's Danny. Like we scheduled this time to, you know, and I had confirmed it and everything.
Yeah.
And she all of a sudden like changed her voice. She's like, oh, I'm sick.
Swear to God.
So then I was like, oh, okay. Like I, and it was clearly like a, I'm sick. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, let's, we can schedule another time. Like, let's reschedule. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then she was like, okay, let me look my calendar. She's like, how about Thursday? And I was like, oh, that's great. You know, or whatever. She's like, oh, wait, I can't. And I was like, okay, well, it's just a couple questions. Like, I wasn't even going to talk to her for long. It was gonna be like a short little like add on to the end of the episode. Anyway, then she's like, okay, well, I guess I can do it.
And then at that moment?
At that moment. So then we did it. And by the end of the conversation, her voice was like she was happy again. And like, I think she was, which I get, and I do actually like sympathize. I feel like she thought I was like gonna like get her or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, I don't know what it was, but something she like was.
She had anxiety.
Even though she agreed about it. Yeah. It was almost like an anxiety thing. And I have anxiety too. I get that. But it was very weird. It was very bizarre. But I loved her. And she ended up being phenomenal. And she gave such great answers. We talked about Drag Race and she was.
She's like, great. Yeah. Like you cannot watch Hairspray and not fall in love with her.
So likable.
She's like so likable, so fucking talented.
Also watched every episode of that ABC Family show she had where she
you're a diehard.
I follow her to the end of the earth.
I'm like, what is that? But like, she sometimes is sad and screaming at her mom. I'm just like, we need to save Nikki. Like, we need to start a GoFundMe to like get Nikki back in action.
And like, let's get her in a movie or something. Like, she is good. And they're doing musicals now. Like, let's get her in the new Wicked movie. Like,
let's give her a chance. We needed to save Nikki.
She's got a great voice. She has so much charisma on screen.
She can dance.
She could dance. She could do it all.
She is a fucking triple threat.
She's a triple threat. And we need her back on screen. Like, and that's the kind of like presence we do need on camera. Like, just a happy, nice, like, during these dark times, it's like, I want to just see someone be like fun and dance and bubbly and fun.
And be great at what they do.
I just saw that Isn't It Romantic? You know, that Rebel Wilson movie?
Oh, yeah.
Nikki would have been great in that role.
Yeah.
Sing it, because Rebel sings and dances in it. It's like,
I need Nikki to have a starring role again.
She would have been amazing.
Yeah. So,
did she audition? I don't know.
I don't know. Is she getting the casting calls? Like, does her mom give her the mail? Like, what happens? Like, we need to get to the bottom of this.
Exactly what happens when like a casting call goes out and one of the casting directors are like, let's put Nikki on the list. And then where does that go?
Yeah. Someone look into it because something ain't right.
Something ain't right. You're right.
Save Nikki. We're doing it. 2020, Nikki's
2020
comeback.
Is the year of Nikki.
Yeah.
I feel like she's just, I mean, she's one project away from like a huge comeback.
If Lindsay Lohan can make a comeback on this MTV show, mm-hmm. Nikki Blonsky can certainly make a comeback.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page about that. Let's get into this episode. I have a lot of notes.
Right.
This was the first kind of good episode in a while.
I know, I was so thrilled that I was coming here for this episode because it was the return of Crazy Kristen, which I love, and I just enjoyed it. Had I think like what everything that we love out of a Vanderpump Rules episode, like it had drama, it had laughs, it had ridiculousness, it had singing, it was like everything.
Yeah, it gave us all like that little hit that we needed, because mm-hmm. last week's was definitely a dip into, I was just like, what am I even watching now?
What was last week? I don't even remember what happened.
Exactly. It was like the Daily Mail party
Right.
Where I was just like, what is this show?
Yeah, the Daily Mail thing was confusing to me, and I still find it troublesome because it was not their grand opening, so to make it such a storyline on the show was weird to me, because it was just like, it was like a soft opening. But you know, I also feel that this whole season, there's a lot of threads that they're not showing us. Like, they'll show us in a flashback form.
Yeah.
Like the Kristen and Carter stuff this episode, it was like, why have we not seen any of that footage?
Yeah.
Like, there was just randomly footage of them, a flashback footage of them arguing in their house. I'm like, why haven't we seen this yet?
Mm-hmm.
Or we saw a couple weeks ago, Billie Lee, like they met her after her one of her surgeries.
Yeah.
And it was like, why aren't we watching that? Like, that seems like.
Also, Billie Lee has been like erased from this season since mm-hmm. she like started drama with people. And I'm like, that feels really weird, because her whole fight the whole fight was about being left out. Mm-hmm. And then now she's literally edited out or cut out. I'm like, what is happening?
It's confusing. And we literally got like a 20 minute scene of Sheena on that bachelor date, which don't get me wrong. Like, I thought it was so fucking funny.
Yeah. I mean, it was essential viewing, yes, but also not essential.
But it just feels to me that that could have been like halved. And then we could have seen like what goes on through someone's mind when they're having a transitional surgery.
Yeah. Like, when they're getting their ass done.
And I know people hate on Billie Lee, and I get that. But like, I think that's an interesting storyline. And just in the same way they're showing James this season, like with his mom and his family, to give him more dimension. Mm-hmm. I feel like Billie Lee, they could do that.
Yeah.
But they're not. And maybe it's because people hate her. But I don't know.
But I think that that's kind of like par for the course of entering a reality show, and especially one that's as like volatile as Vanderpump Rules, is like, you're going to have tons of haters.
Right.
It's like polarizing. Like, I feel like if you're on Vanderpump, you either want to be hated to death or loved and mm-hmm. revered. And you don't want to just fall in the middle and be like inconsequential to the viewer.
Yeah.
So I feel like if Billie Lee is provoking those thoughts in people, that's something to run with and like lean into and wow. like get into. And
I hate myself because I literally just got goosebumps. I was like, oh my God, yes.
I'm like, bravo, like, I'm available for consulting anytime you need. Literally, hire me, please.
No joke. Like, the hairs on my arm are standing up. I'm like, yes. Like, I'm in a church or something. Like, it's
I just need more because I feel like yeah. we're not getting our due as like as far as what we used to be getting in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, they used to give us a lot more to like work with as a viewer.
Yeah. And like some of the things that we're getting, like the Jackson Brittany wedding venue stuff, it's like, I don't need so much of that. Like,
I don't give a shit about that.
Show me some of the crazy, let's see Billie Lee and judge and see if we hate her or not.
Yeah.
You know, let's see more or any of the more Raquel.
Yeah.
Maybe not more Raquel.
Raquel just like wandering around. Like,
I would watch her wander the mall.
Yeah. She steps outside, like one step outside that apartment she lives in, and gets immediately lost.
I'd watch that.
And I'd watch a day of her just like trying, like walking the block. Like
producers, all they have to do is like not tell her where the production is happening. Like, they give her like a random clues and she just has to find the cameras.
The Amazing Race with Raquel, where she just like can't even exit, like,
and no partner, like she doesn't yeah. get a partner. Like, everyone else in Amazing Race has a partner.
Everyone else in Amazing Race is like halfway to Europe, and Raquel is still like kind of standing in front of the apartment, like looking around, like kind of looking at a plant, like seeing a dog walk by, look at her phone.
And there's just one camera crew on Raquel at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her trying to get to, you know, Europe or something.
I like her.
I like Raquel too. Like, I find her fascinating. But see, in all reality TV, like, I like the people that are most polarizing, like you said.
You like an underdog?
Yeah, I like an underdog, and I like, because I feel like they bring something at least. Like, like you mentioned, I don't want someone who's just sort of in the middle, not yeah. giving me anything. And so I like someone at least that gives me something, even if it's something I'm hating. At least I'm hating and feeling something instead of just like sitting there watching.
Yeah.
Bored.
Yeah. And it's been a lot of like just sitting and watching, like waiting for something or someone to hate.
100%. Like, that whole scene, I'm not sure we'll talk about it, with the wedding or the engagement venue, I was just like so bored during it. I'm
yeah.
like, I don't care about any of this.
And it's also like, why are Katie and Stassi there? It's just kind of weird to me that Stassi, I know that she's friends with Brittany and whatever, but I'm like, given the context of her relationship with Jax, like, I don't think I would want my fiance's ex to mm-hmm. like accompany me to wedding venues.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. They just do things differently.
I mean, they go to the beat of their own drum or whatever the fuck this is.
Lisa is hungover when she arrives at Sir. And I have my biggest question with Lisa right now is like, how does she not sweat through all those satin pussy bow tops that she wears?
Now, I've never worn satin. Is it really warm?
I think that it's just like, not necessarily warm, but if you sweat at all, it will show a sweat mark. Like, I would just, like, soak through one immediately.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, this is going to be a bold statement, but I wouldn't be surprised if she got Botox under her
arms. Her armpits, yeah.
People do that.
Yeah.
I've thought about it before. I've never done it, but...
I'd love to, like, branch out into, like, an underarm Botox journey. Yeah,
I would 100% do Botox for sweat. Like, I'm an excessive sweater. I've always been my whole life.
Yeah.
And I always think, like, I would do it. But then I had read that if you do it some places, then you start sweating other places.
Yeah, like, it has to go
so
somewhere.
So where is Lisa's sweat going?
Yeah, where is she sweating from?
I don't know.
Her feet?
Her feet, like, are probably so wet.
They're slipping and sliding around in those pumps. She takes it off. She can, like, pour it out.
A lot of water in those pumps. Those Maloof hooves.
Those hooves. She says that she had two cocktails, but then it shows her having like five cocktails. And she was shit-faced at that Daily Mail party.
And that was fun. I love drunk Lisa. Like, yeah. I wish she would lose control a little bit more because I feel like she's so likable and fun when she's like that.
Anyone drunk is like, I love watching on TV. She was smiling at nothing. She's sitting happy on a couch, like just smiling into the distance.
Yeah, and she had such a camaraderie with the Toms when she was drunk. It was like so cute to see and watch. Yeah. I loved it.
I love how many times Tom Sandoval has told Lisa how cute she is this season. Yeah,
that's you're
like
a cutie.
All he does is be like, Lisa, you're so cute.
That's a good Tom.
Thank you.
That's a really good Tom.
I've really come around to loathing Tom Schwartz.
Yeah, I've never been a huge Tom. I've never really... I get his appeal because he's like sort of just... I don't know. What's like... not fluffy. Fluffy,
he's a floppy. Floppy, like,
yeah. But I just never got it. I don't know.
Yeah. Like now I'm starting to have like visceral reactions.
What is
him.
It about him that's...
It's just like... him talking about, I think I just resent him for having even like a role in this Tom Tom restaurant industry.
Right.
Like, I'm because like, don't you how feel did like you earn this?
Sandoval, I feel like at least he's a hard worker-ish. Or
Sandoval
like
has put 10 years of blood, sweat, and mixology into...
Blood, sweat, and mixology would be a great name for a Bravo show.
Yeah. Like, I need Sandoval's spinoff. Yes. That.
Blood, sweat, and mixology. Please make it happen.
He's done this for so long, like, clearly wants it so bad. It kind of understands, like, what it is, like, the responsibilities, blah, blah, blah. I think they go out of their way to make him look like an idiot.
Right.
And he helps a lot with that. But, like, he deserves Tom Tom.
I agree. I feel like he has always worked there. And we've seen Schwartz, like, try to work at certain places, and then it doesn't ever work out. And, yeah, I think Sandoval actually like plays along with the like dumb shtick a little bit.
Yeah.
And
he's an actor.
He's
but a performer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But Schwartz, I agree. There's something about him like getting a piece of this restaurant. But again, I don't know what piece of this restaurant they're getting. Like, I need the paperwork. I need those term sheets because I don't know that they're getting anything yet.
Yeah.
I truly believe there's like some sort of thing. I don't think that they're getting anything. That's my, I don't know.
Do you think, because Lisa at one point said, in the last reunion, she was like, I have not even cashed their checks.
Right. I don't think.
Then she hadn't given them a term sheet.
And then she gave a term sheet, but we never saw it. We never saw them looking at it. We saw the envelope that she handed. They could have opened it up later and it could have been glitter.
Yeah.
And they could have been pissed about it. We never saw anything about it again.
Yeah. Lisa's pulling a fast one over there.
I 100% Lisa and whoever else is her partners in this are pulling a fast one. And I think, mark my words, I feel like something will happen maybe at the reunion or next season about it. Like, I feel like right now the Toms are like, well, whatever. You know, the contracts will be worked out, like, you know, the money will come, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I think eventually they're going to maybe realize or...
I would love, like, a legal fucking battle over Tom Tom.
Wouldn't that be great at, like, the reunion if they're like, you fucked us over?
I mean, because Lisa is essentially going to be off of Housewives of Beverly Hills, right? Like, this is her final, like, she's getting crucified this season.
Well, I think she could probably come back. Like, I think probably next season she won't be on for sure, I would guess. But then I think she could come back. And people, her fans love her. And rightfully so, like, people love her. And
yeah.
But I don't know. I have said I think her upcoming season in Beverly Hills is going to affect Vanderpump Rules, and a lot of people disagreed with me. But I think that the cast of Vanderpump Rules, I think if they were to see the tides turning on Lisa in Beverly Hills, it may give them a little more kind of push, like, imagine Kristen. Kristen obviously hates Vanderpump.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's clear. They talk about it openly on the show. But yeah. I feel like if Kristen had, like, a little more public support, mm-hmm. you know, in the atmosphere.
They could have more leverage, yeah, to, like, because I think Lisa is an essential part of Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. Like, she provides good foil every once in a while for the other characters.
And she's so good in that boss role.
But, like, I also don't necessarily want her. I don't want to see more of her in Vanderpump Rules. Like, yeah. I've always liked my Vanderpump Rules to be specifically about, like, the servers and 100%. Their shenanigans. And
I don't need any more of Ken. Like, get Ken off my screen.
Yeah,
like,
I love
watching Lisa a little bit on Vanderpump Rules, but I don't need Ken.
Like, I like watching Lisa be like, how is everything? Do you mm-hmm. like the steak? And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, but I feel like they're trying to continue this trend of, like, these people working at Sir for a paycheck. And I'm like, the audience is not stupid. Like, no. Stop doing this to us.
That scene where, like, Lala and they were asking for the days off, like, it just pissed me off. Because yeah. I was like, okay, come on. Lala is filming a movie. Like, there's no reason she has to ask you for 2 days off. It wasn't even...
None of these people need to ask you. Yeah.
2 days.
Yeah.
My ideal situation for Vanderpump would be for her to do that Vegas spinoff show because, you know, she's opening the Vegas.
Yeah.
And I would love a Vegas set show about people,
die for that.
And Sheena's always in Vegas. Like, I would love Sheena to front that show
mm-hmm.
or be over there. And
Sheena belongs in Vegas.
She belongs in Vegas.
That's like, where she can shine.
And you know that Kayla from Lindsay Lohan's Beach House.
Is she from Vegas?
She's friends with Sheena and she lives in Vegas. So, like, let's get those two.
Let's have because some doesn't crossover.
It feel, doesn't it feel
content.
Like Kayla's a little Sheena-esque?
Oh, I said she's like right. trailer trash Sheena.
So, like, let's get those two to open up that Vegas show. And then Vanderpump could split her time between the Vanderpump Rules and the Vegas show.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to do Housewives. I don't think Lisa should be on Housewives, especially, like, because the whole cast is against her right
yeah.
now. She's just going to look bad. And she doesn't seem like her heart's been in it the past couple seasons anyway.
She doesn't need it.
She doesn't need it. So it's like, produce the other one and just spend the same amount of time that you do now on Vanderpump Rules. Do that for the Vegas show, too.
Yeah.
That would be, like,
mentor perfect. The newbies that are, like, hungry and kind of trashy and will do anything to, like, be on a show. Mm-hmm. And then follow these people, like, as they just, like, live their lives.
Do you think Vanderpump Rules, like, let's say Lisa was out of the picture. I'm not saying she is, but mm-hmm. let's say she's out of the picture. Do you think this show, Vanderpump Rules, or this cast could be fine without her?
I think so. Because at this point, they don't need to work at Sir. Like, Sir mm-hmm. doesn't anchor them as a cast. Like, they're all naturally friends or enemies, just depending on, like, where they're at in their lives. Mm-hmm. So, like, and now the alliances are, like, Lala and Brittany and Jax and, like, Randall are really tight. I feel like Sandoval and Ariana are tight with everyone. Like, the unit is strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather just, like, explore that without having to have them, like, filming at Sir and pretending to be waiters and waitresses and bartenders.
Right.
And just, like, let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah. I know I'm not interested in pretending. And then it's also weird because, like, Kristen and Sassy don't have to pretend anymore. Like, we've moved on.
Yeah. And I think that they don't really like each other. I feel like
Kristen and Stassi?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like she hates Stassi. Stassi kind of hates her. But they,
I was
like,
just reading something this morning about them. Did one of them say something about the other one? I don't know if that happened. I feel like just after last
something.
Night's episode, I feel like somebody said something. Maybe I'm making that up. I feel like I literally make some things up in my head sometimes about
yeah,
these
people. Yeah, you just, like, dream it into
yeah,
being.
Yeah, it's like, it happened.
Yeah, but I would like to see just, because that's what's always been interesting is their interpersonal relationships. Like, I've never, like, Sir was a funny backdrop, but mm-hmm. when it doesn't serve the narrative anymore, no pun intended, but, like, lose it.
You know what's interesting to me? I feel like we're at this weird crossroads with the show where it's like they're not able to bring new people in. Like, it's just not working.
No.
And
the cast also has a lot of say about, like, who they will film with and who they won't, which I think is why we don't see Billy, is because mm-hmm. they're just like, we're not inviting her to this. Like, and if you don't get invited, you don't get screen time, you don't get paid. So yeah. they have, like, financial control in a way that they've never had in the show.
I think either next season, the producers of the show are going to have to be like, look, we're bringing in new people and we're going to focus on them and put you guys in the backdrop. And this is going to be the new iteration of the show. Or we all are going to have to move on and say, okay, we're watching this group of people and they're not actually working so much at Sur.
Yeah.
You know, like we need to figure out one way or another, because I feel like this season, like you mentioned, it's like they're towing the line of like they're still working there and they got to ask for time off and stuff.
Like Jax makes a comment at the engagement planning thing. He's like, I'll never be able to stop working at Sur. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So it's like, let's just move on from that whole narrative because it feels fake as fuck.
And yeah.
Even though some of you might work there sometimes, like we don't need to know about it on camera. Like we could see you guys, the ones that actually do occasionally working there,
yeah,
or Pride event or when they have a special event. Great. Let's see them work there. But to pretend that I have to... Lala's got to ask for fucking 2 days off to go to a cast trip, which is on the production schedule. Lisa's a producer on.
Yeah.
She has
Lisa's not
going to
be like,
schedule.
No.
No, and then, exactly. And then it was pissed me off so much when Lisa was like, well, make sure you're back for Friday night because that's a busy night. It's like, fuck that. Like, this is all such bullshit and you're not enough good enough actors. All
yeah.
Of you.
I think also that there.
Some of them are.
I think, yeah, some are and some aren't. I feel like. They need Sur's business is probably not as good as it once was, so that's why they're having these like kind of like Galentine's Day events or throwing parties there to like entice people to come, because that's how they make money. And I feel like anytime you see Sur and it's like crowded and the cast is filming there, it's likely that production has put out a call for people to like eat in the restaurant so that it looks full. Mm-hmm. So I feel like tying them to Sur is Lisa's way of keeping that restaurant afloat and keeping it from losing money.
But I also think it's inappropriate because I do feel like the cast always has to go there or like be at those places.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it's, maybe they're getting paid a lot of money to make those appearances, but I feel like they have to show up there. Like they're characters in Disneyland, but then are they getting paid for that? Like when I'm not talking about when they're actually like serving, but when they're just hanging out those places, like are they getting paid?
I don't know. And I think that that's another weird power struggle that's at play, because like they can get a paycheck from like Bravo producers, but doesn't Lisa have the final say of like who's on and off the show? So can't she be like, yeah, you'll work for me. We'll call this restaurant Tom Tom. And if you don't like it, then you don't need to be on Vanderpump Rules anymore. And I can call it whatever I want. Like, I feel like that's always looming over mm-hmm. everyone's head. So it can justify why they wouldn't get paid an appearance fee for like mm-hmm. making, like throwing a party.
Because when these people go to a club outside of that, like any celebrity, if they run a night at a club, like they get paid money.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, do you remember like Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian would make 10 grand for showing up at a club? But it's like these people are expected to show up there, and I don't think they're making an appearance fee. I don't know that for sure.
But I don't know if they get a cut of like the bar, but even like split between six people.
Eventually, that's all going to bubble to the surface, though. Like, I feel like that's. I do feel like that's bubbling under.
I hope that that's the next. Yeah, I really hope that that's like the next phase of drama, because this phase of drama, like, is not working for me.
Yeah.
I don't think it's working for a lot of viewers.
No, and I think this is the first season where it feels more manufactured to me. And some of it I really think is funny, like the editors and stuff are like that bachelor scene with Gina, or mm-hmm. when they did that stupid sitcom thing. I love that.
Yeah.
Like the editing and stuff. But I need that mixed with a little bit more grounded reality, because that's what I thought Vanderpump always did best was grounded stuff.
Yeah.
And there's just weird choices. Like we saw Ariana and Kristen together, and we know that they're good friends, but we've never seen the evolution of their friendship. It's like,
or like how they made it work.
How they made it work. And so it's like, why aren't they showing us that? Why are they showing us Jax and Brittany at this venue?
Not having like Ariana and Kristen go shopping together and then cutting to them each like giving talk, like testimonials of like when their friendship began and like how
I
want to
know
happened.
Like when did that happen, because they hated each other and now they're seemingly friends. We even are seeing them in scenes together look like friends and kiss and say hey girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah,
so what the fuck happened? Like why have we never seen what happened there?
It's not adding up.
And who made that choice?
I don't know.
Wow, I'm fired up.
I'm really fired up. Lala has invited Kristen to Solvang. Speaking of Kristen and Ariana being friends, they all sit down for this brunch. And then Lala says, like, let's go to Solvang. And then Kristen is like, what is that? And I think that when Lala tells her where it is, Kristen thinks that they're going to like Europe at first. Like,
I didn't even notice that.
Cause like Lala's like, she says something to the effect of like, it's like a Danish town. Like, it's like it's Denmark. And I feel like Kristen thought it was Denmark and was going to have another shot at like Copenhagen, like, and then slowly realized that it was like California.
Well, to be honest, I think I would have been the same way. Like, I didn't know. Did you know? I didn't know Solvang.
I've been to Solvang once, like had a very wild time there. Like went for a friend's birthday party that devolved into just like debauchery.
Sure. I mean, I'm dying to go there now. It looks wonderful.
Yeah. And
when she mentioned Sideways, that was when I was like, oh, okay. But
Sideways was in Napa.
It wasn't in Solvang.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it gave me like a sense of what the town was going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I wouldn't have known when she said that.
Yeah. I don't think anyone really
knew. You know that somebody DM'd me this. The private jet took 20 minutes to get to Solvang, right?
Yeah.
But there's no Solvang airport apparently. So they flew in to an airport that's 50 minutes outside of Solvang. So they took a 20-minute flight.
To Santa Barbara?
This is allegedly. I don't know that this is true. This is what. Yeah, I think it's Santa Barbara is the airport.
Because that would be like the nearest big city.
And then 50-minute drive. This is what somebody told me. So literally it ended up being like over an hour to do this whole flight thing.
Because if you go to Solvang with, I Google mapped this last night.
Oh my God, okay.
If you drive there with no traffic, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes.
So it's like not much of a difference. And they took a private jet, which I have a problem because of the environment. Like, I think it's so unenvironmentally friendly to take a private jet that short of a...
It's insane.
Distance.
Also, I have a theory that that's like Randall, a tax evasion, like some sketchy write-off for Randall's taxes. Wait, to pay for a private jet.
I'm curious about the financial aspect of it all. And I also heard that Randall, I heard that he was like the real life turtle from Entourage,
mm-hmm.
but then I looked it up and I couldn't find any definitive answer. Like, he said it in an interview once, but then there's all these articles about somebody else being the real life turtle, and he had been Mark Wahlberg's assistant, but there was like some other person that was the real life turtle.
Can you imagine like fighting for the title of the real life turtle? Like, someone else is clearly that, but you're claiming that as your role.
Oh my God.
Like, you have problems. Yeah.
Because I think he did say it in like some...
He said it.
He said it, right?
Okay. Ryan Bailey was on the podcast, and I think Randall had come and done a lecture at the acting school that
that's
he teaches at.
It.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then he was like, that's where he was like, I'm Turtle.
Yeah, I was like on Google researching this last night, like up till the wee hours of the morning trying to figure it out, and I could not find any clear answer. It was like, I saw that he said it in that acting thing, but then when the Entourage movie came out, the iconic film...
Yeah. The best film of our generation.
Best film of our
generation's Raging Bull.
I saw, you know, Ira Madison, him and I saw that movie on like opening weekend. Because we were like big Entourage fans, which is embarrassing.
But. Oh, I was hugely enough. I like could not give up the ghost of Entourage. Even though I hated myself for watching it. Yeah, it was a whole thing. It was a whole separate podcast. But
we should break down the Entourage movie one day because it's a while.
Yeah, we actually should. I was like, should we start an Entourage podcast?
Do you know who I'm in? Wait. I'm interviewing Beverly D'Angelo. Like, I just...
Oh, God.
And I'm, like, trying to, like, think of all my questions.
Goddess.
And, like, I want to spend at least 20 minutes on her...
on her iconic role in Entourage.
Her recurring appearance in Entourage. But... Oh, so I'm, like, up late trying to figure this all out, and I, like, could not figure it out. Because when the Entourage movie came out, it was, like, there was someone else who was being credited as the real-life turtle. So I was, like, well, it's not Randall, then.
Yeah.
Like, so what's the truth?
I don't know if... Oh, I feel like everything, like all the financial aspects and the history is kind of like muddled and purposefully so that you can't get to the bottom of like what's real.
Okay, but like if I've learned anything from watching reality TV all these years is that you can't just hide that forever. Like eventually it's going to come to the surface. Like he's not on screen now, but we all know that Lala's with Randall, and we know...
And they're very public about their relationship
now. People are going to find out more. People are going to do research the way that I did last night trying to figure out if he was a real life turtle. Like people are going to go above and beyond financiers.
I mean, I wonder how much that private jet cost. It was probably like $5,000 or something.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no
idea. I would
think
it would be more than that.
For like 20 minutes though, and like you pay for fuel.
Fuel and it seemed like they had at least one attendant.
Yeah. an attendant, two pilots.
They were drinking expensive champagne on the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then also I think it gets written off as like a business expense, or like, did he pay for it or did his corporation pay for it? Like, these are all questions as an emerging businesswoman that I'm concerned about.
Yeah. Do you know what stuff he's produced? Like, I don't know. It's confusing to me.
He's done he does male driven action movies.
Things like Entourage.
Yeah. Things like in an Entourage way. But I'm excited to see this new project directed by Michael Polish, featuring Lala in period 1940s
and
dress.
Co-starring Al fucking Pacino.
Yeah.
That's a real twist. What the fuck?
Lala for the Oscars. Give 2020. Lala. Give them Lala.
What is going on? Ugh. Those still frames were just so amazing.
Yeah. And then I was watching her story and she's like, it was actually really inspiring. Like, I think I was having a mild depression moment, and then watching Lala's story on this day really shifted perspective for me. And she was had in her trailer with her rollers in her hair, and she was like, I'm about to do my big monologue in front of Al Pacino, and I just want to say, don't let anyone tell you that you can't do what you know you're meant to do in this world. I was fucking true.
I just got goosebumps again.
Yeah.
How many times is that going to happen this episode?
I mean, probably a lot.
You know, I want to see that too on the Vanderpump Rules episodes. Like, she filmed another movie last year, and Sheena, the whole time during filming, she was in Vegas shooting her sex or whatever. And they're just, again, not showing us any of that.
These are missed opportunities.
Like, do I care about Lala working at Sur or filming a movie with Al Pacino? Like, show me her filming a movie with Al fucking Pacino.
I wonder too if it's a budget concern where it's they can't have camera crews in both places at once, and it makes more sense to just find a way to get the cast together so they make them all gather at Sur. But do what the housewives do and just pay for them to go to dinner and vacation.
And also I'd be fine seeing a scene at least of them talking about it, or of Lala getting the news that she's going to be in a movie with Al Pacino. I feel like that'd be a fun moment to see. Her getting the phone call being I don't know if it's just Randall texting her, I'm giving you the role.
I got a text from my man. Yeah.
I'm giving you the role in a movie without
I'll
Gina.
Get it for you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd still like to see it.
I would love to see that. I also would love for producers to split the cast up more often and send them on girls trips and boys trips, because I feel like that is where a lot of conflict could potentially arise.
The girls trip was so fun to watch. These girls get together and just... without the guys holding him down, I loved them getting out to Solvang.
Yeah, and I want the guys to travel too, especially because we got a moment with Jax and Brittany where it became clear that he's not, they don't ever travel apart from each other anymore. She was maybe we should go to Kentucky. And then he's or you could go alone by yourself. And she was I don't think so. And so it's he's not, I don't think this is really, the boys trip is the first time he's ever been left alone, and it's for 48 hours only.
I mean, a lot of the Jackson Brittany stuff makes me really uncomfortable lately. The whole therapy scenes, first of all, which didn't make any sense. I'm Catholic, and you do pre-Cano, and not, you don't have to do, he was saying in his confessionals,
you have to do a year of couples therapy.
But it's in the Catholic Church, which is, I thought, what they were talking about.
Jax was talking about Catholicism.
But you do pre-Cana, which is meeting with your priest.
Okay.
It's not you don't meet with an outside therapist.
Yeah.
And he was saying in his confessional, I'm Catholic, so you have to do this amount of therapy. And I was like, that's not what the Catholic Church says, but maybe his church is different or something.
I think that he just doesn't know.
Or just
know
made it up.
Yeah. He kind of hears it, and then it gets filtered through Jax, his brain, and then comes out of his mouth, and it's off.
Yeah.
I know. And cause Brittany is just Christian. Well, we have all seen her church and where she's from. So.
Which that's not over with. That's bubbling under the surface too.
That is bubbling under the surface, because that pastor that's marrying them at the Kentucky Castle is a known homophobe.
Yeah, and it's she was asked about that on Watch What Happens Live, but that's going to come back again. If they're going to film this on camera and they're going to keep that pastor, people are going to dig that stuff up again.
Yeah, I'm ready. Lala says she got so drunk that she got naked and broke a hurricane-proof window.
What is that whole story? Where's the footage of that?
Yeah.
I need all the footage of that. And how did this happen? It seemed like it was just glossed over.
And so now she and Randall have a no-drinking pact.
Some people thought they were pregnant.
Some people, I thought that they were pregnant. I thought Lala was pregnant for a really long time. I'm also the, like, why would you take everyone to wine country if you're not drinking? Like, why don't you take them somewhere else where it's like you can all do activities that don't involve drinking, like horseback riding or something? And like, this whole trip leaves a weird taste in my mouth because it's like you're rewarding people for just being a friend to you.
Do you think that Lala was not drinking at all the whole wine trip?
She said she wasn't.
I thought I spotted her drinking. Like, I thought she said that, but then she was like, well, I'll drink a little bit.
She cheersed with a huge green juice on the airplane, which I really, that was a power move that I aspire to do, is be like, no, you guys like have, you drink as much alcohol as you want, and then be like, cheers with a literal gallon of green juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goals. Yeah. But I don't think she's drinking.
I don't know.
She's also wearing an Ayurvedic like magnet ear thing that I noticed. Like
Is that like a,
I don't know, but it's like an Ayurvedic. I've been like Googling a lot of like Ayurveda because like I just am dying to have like an Ayurvedic facial and like all these treatments and stuff. So I'm just like dangling those in front of me for some sort of reward in the near future. But I've noticed this like magnet thing. I really want one.
You need a DM Lala.
Yeah. I think I know where she gets it.
I don't know. I just assume that she was saying she was not drinking, but then she would get there and be like, okay, I'm drinking now.
I think,
but
she's like not.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to know that whole story about the hurricane proof thing. Like, why wasn't that filmed? Or wasn't there any footage from that? I'm sure there was like at least a picture, a still frame picture of the aftermath of it we could have put on screen. Like something from that moment should have.
Yeah. And did she like crash through like the Kool-Aid man? Like, where's the injuries like, from
show
that?
Me, or at least show me a picture of the window.
Or did she like throw something at? Yeah. I need like
something. Like, there was not even like a sliver of footage. And you know, normally they'll put up on the screen the picture, like a still frame of like something post whatever. I love when they do
Hurricane Lala. Yeah,
I remember back in the day when they would show like they would be like Tequila Katie came out last night, and then they would show us like texts or something on the screen the next day.
Yeah,
something like that. Like, show me the text between her and Randall after she broke the.
We're not getting a lot of receipts this season.
And I think, you know what, maybe the producers got lazy. They got complacent, or the editors, and they were like, you know what, I don't fucking feel like getting that footage.
Yeah, that's fine.
But back in the day, they would have been like, Lala, send us your text messages.
Yeah. At the end of the seventh ray, the woman Holly that's showing them around looks exactly like Amy Adams.
Yes.
She's like, is it Amy, was Amy Adams. It was.
It was 100% Amy Adams.
In doing like character research and just like popped up as Holly.
She's like, here I am. Fully next Amy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love Jax too. Like, try, like, I like when you get to see how like cheap he is, because I feel like this will be a point that comes up over and over, because he famously is like, doesn't want to spend that kind of money, and like he
prefers to steal.
And I think also there's this kind of dynamic brewing that's like, Brittany gets whatever she wants because Jax was a bad boy. Mm-hmm. And so like, she's gonna get her party because we all know why, like the unsaid kind of reason.
All of these dynamics between Jax and Brittany are not good.
No.
Like, they're very, it's, and I know we kind of just brushed over the fact of what happened last season with the phone call and the cheating and stuff like that. And it's just so dark when they're at the therapist. And then Jax is like, I'm not mad, I just want to talk about it. It's like, oh, it makes me feel so uncomfortable.
It's because he's so filled with rage about it all. Mm-hmm. Like, and so defensive, and clearly like hasn't let it go. And neither is she, because if someone's like, hey, let's talk about this, and you are over it, you'd be like, okay, yeah, like blah, 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 blah. And that's it. And then you move on and talk about something else.
Right.
But like, the fact, like, what's not being said is so important.
It's so important.
Yeah. The engagement party costs $14,205.
It's crazy. It looks like, I mean, it's going to be like a wedding. Like, we even see in the footage in the trailers and stuff, it looks like a fucking wedding.
Yeah.
Which seems like an irresponsible use of money to me.
It's really like, I would rather go on a huge vacation, like, and stay at an Aman without, and like,
yes, 100%.
Which you could absolutely do.
Yeah.
For like maybe a week.
I understand them spending a lot of money on the wedding, especially if it's going to be filmed. But for the engagement party, it just seems like insane to me.
Yeah.
And especially because, I mean, not for nothing, but where we see them living, it's confusing, because it's like, well, you're not living in that nice of a place. And
You could put that in the,
that
your
money
bank
towards
a down
place
payment.
Where you would own instead of rent towards a down payment or something. So yeah, it's troublesome and it's like, ugh.
And like in of the seventh
but
grade.
The same thing with the engagement ring.
Yeah.
It was like, how much was that? That was so expensive. And it's like.
He says it's like 70K or something like
and
that.
I know they probably got a little bit of a deal, but I'm still sure it was probably maybe could have been better spent somewhere else. In the put it in the Mima cheese business.
Yeah. You're growing, thriving.
Put it in the empire.
Yeah. I'm wondering.
What
like,
if that doesn't take off? Then how are they going to afford the wedding? I don't know.
I want to see like, I know we'll get this as like people will flame out financially. Like, I think just when you give people a lot of money that clearly don't really know what they're doing with it, like someone always ends up biting the dust.
That'll be fun to watch.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah. Might hope it doesn't happen, but also be fun to watch.
But yeah, there has to be someone. Like someone will fuck up on their taxes. Mm-hmm. I have a theory that someone will do porn eventually.
Who do you think will do porn?
I don't know. A reader had written in to the podcast and was like pitching like porn ideas that we explored on the bonus episode. I feel like it could be tied into whoever is like having financial drama.
You know, I'd watch a Guillermo video.
Guillermo like would be a great porn star. I think
when we
Peter
saw him,
softly
Peter.
Seducing people, like doing soft core seduction at Sir. Like
I really want Peter to take over for Ken. Mm-hmm. And I want all of like Ken's scenes. Anytime Ken's on camera, like let's just replace him with Peter. I'd rather watch LVP and Peter.
I'm into Peter now.
I am too. I like Peter.
I like him. He's hot.
I feel the same way. I like turned my corner with him and I'm like, oh, I love Peter now.
I love him. He's like so supportive. Mm-hmm. Like if I was having a problem or a bad day, I would want to go to Sir and talk to Peter about it just so he could tell me to like keep my head up. And he'd be really encouraging. Mm-hmm.
He's like that calming presence. Like when the other scenes are getting wild, like when we see James with his mom or something, and then we cut to a Peter appearance, it's like, oh, I feel calm again.
Yeah.
Like I got so worked up and now Peter's on screen and better.
He's like human Xanax.
Yeah.
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 Brittany wants the party, so she's getting the party. And then
I am on the brim of freaking out.
I'm on the brim.
I am on the brim. It's I am Brittany. On the brim of freaking out. Brittany's calling me. I'm engaged.
I'm engaged. She's really leaning into the Southern accent.
I know.
More so now than ever.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It makes me so happy. And like hearing her voice, like I think I would have a totally different opinion of Brittany if she had a different accent or if she sounded like, you know, the rest of the girls.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely paints her in like a very cute and innocent light.
Yeah.
But I also am like, I'm kind of starting to eye roll at some stuff where I'm like, honey, you're leaning into it too much. Like, you need to toe the line. Because when she's like, I always believed in fairies and I just thought they're real. Love fairies so much. Hee hee. And
I
was
know
like,
the fairies weren't real.
Yeah. I was like, Brittany, like, you need to walk it back.
Yeah.
Now.
Walk it back a little bit. I get that.
Cause like, can see the game that you're playing. I respect it. Mm-hmm. You've got to do what you've got to do to survive in this world.
Yeah, you're.
Mm-hmm. But don't get into fairy talk with me.
No, I get that. I get that. You're exactly right. She really won me over when she was like, I'm just buying lots of stuff on Amazon. I was like, yeah, I get that, Brittany. Like, I totally related. That was like, I was like hating on Brittany the whole episode. And then she's like, I just been buying shit on Amazon. And I was like, okay, now I love you again.
I love that. But I'm also like, if you have to buy a bunch of shit on Amazon, you probably shouldn't also drop 14K sure. on the party.
Well, you know what? I don't know that they're acting
it's a high-low
like
mix, but like no shade to Amazon, but
there are no mathematicians over there. I don't know. I don't know. It's worrisome.
I want to know how much the deposit was that they put on like a debit or credit card.
Let me ask you, do you remember what Schwartz and Katie's wedding cost?
50K.
50K. Okay, so this was 14 for the wedding. Engagement party.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, but I feel
not like, weird. It's not weird if you have the money, but I worry that they don't have the money.
Like long term. Like I feel like Susie Orman would not be pleased with any of their spending. Like I would like to actually get her on the podcast to just talk about from a financial perspective, like what these people should be doing with their money.
I would love to listen to that. And I would also love Susie to just go on an episode and just like walk in their houses and talk to them about finances.
Yeah.
Because I do worry about their finances. I don't even know why. Like I worry about them all.
Like does Jax and Brittany have 8 months of income saved in a savings account? I would venture to say probably not.
Especially with these lifestyles they're leading.
Do they have a Roth IRA? TB fucking D.
We need Susie Orman to just go in there in one of her blazers and just...
And clean it up.
Clean up house.
I think she would have a
field
day.
And you know what
day.
I also want her to do? I want her to sit down with LVP and the Toms, mm-hmm. and I want them to go through the terms together.
Yes.
I want them all to talk about the terms of this Tom business.
They need to do that. And Susie is the perfect person because her whole story was like she raised a lot of money to start her own restaurant and... She got like a $50,000 loan, I think, or $20,000 loan from like people at the restaurant that she worked at, and then took it to a bank. And this banker was like, you should invest it, blah, 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 and lost all her money. Then she ended up working at that bank, making it all back, and like
hair standing up.
Yeah. And like, so Susie knows she's Susie been fucked knows. Over in the restaurant
Could
industry.
Could you imagine a world where next season, we see the season opens with them doing contract negotiations for that season with Susie Orman.
Yes.
Ugh.
I need that.
I would love that. Just sit Susie down, like with all their agents or publicists or whoever they're doing their deals with. And Susie's going around with the Bravo execs mm-hmm. and they're working out their contracts. And that's how the season opens. Fuck.
Yeah. And Susie's telling Lisa, like, you need to play it straight. Like, you need to be straight with them. And then her, yeah,
and
like,
you need
encouraging.
To pay them if they're going to the restaurants. Yeah. If they're hanging out there, you need to pay them.
You need to pay them. There needs to be some sort of fee. Like, she's mm-hmm. like, it doesn't have to be crazy, but it has to be there. It needs to be in writing. And then she could, like, get the money for
Everything
the licensing
writing.
Of their names. They need
wow.
Susie.
We need Susie on this cast. She could be a full-time cast member. I'd love to see her gallivanting with Lala on the private jet.
I'd love to see her on the girls' trip in Solvang.
Just Susie and Kristen cheersing.
Yeah.
She could also be at Guy's Night, too. I'd be fine with that. She could
anywhere
do
she wants to go,
her and
she
Peter
could
go on a date or not yeah. a date. I mean, she's a lesbian, but we can get them. I mean, well, you know what? Sexuality's fluid these days.
We'll work it out.
Peter's got long hair, maybe.
But let's just like put into the universe a Susie appearance mm-hmm. on Vanderpump Rules, or at least like commenting on it in some way, shape, or form.
She should have her own pod. She should have a sexy, unique podcast with Susie Orman.
Susie starts her own podcast called Sexy Susie Unique Podcast. And I'm like kind of pissed, but also really happy.
They're a loyal listener.
Yeah.
Susie Unique Podcast is something I would totally subscribe to.
Yeah. She's like, Sep's back, guys. And I'm like, what the fuck, Susie? But
She's
also,
like, this week was
play.
A lot of lols.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Brittany thinks Bo and Stassi are going to get engaged next.
Okay, this is another thing I hate
They're
to be negative.
They're engaged, right? Like, aren't they already?
I didn't know that.
I thought they, like, got engaged when they went to Europe last time. Like, people had emailed me about it. And also, people have been emailing me, like, with pregnancy theories that Stassi is already pregnant.
I heard they fuck with people on social media, though. Like, I heard that, like, Stassi and they put the rings on their engagement fingers just to fuck with people.
Okay, love that.
Which I like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a big fuck you, because then it keeps us all guessing.
Mm-hmm, that's smart.
I don't know that that's what Stassi and Bo did. Maybe they are engaged. I didn't know they were. But I do know that in the past, they have done that before, where they'll take, like, her fucking OOT day.
Whatever it is.
And
yeah.
And with a ring on her engagement finger.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Wait, what did you just ask, though?
They were going to get engaged, and then they're talking about having babies together, and you were
this
gonna
all
say something.
Really bummed me out. And I don't mean to be, I hate to sound negative, but it really bummed me out them talking about the kids. I don't know what it was. It just made me feel uncomfortable inside.
I would for sure be interested in watching them all have kids. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's advisable whatsoever. And I feel for those, like, unborn children.
Do you think if one of them has a kid, then do you think they're all going to do the kid thing at once?
I kind of think, why not? Because it just, like, traditionally, the behavior we've seen is that once someone does something on the show, like, there can't be the feeling of being an outlier, because if you are, you're like Sheena, where you're just, like, thrown to
the
wolves. Yeah, you're like on a bachelor date, like, no one really wants anything to do with you, yet you're still around. So I feel like it would be polarizing for Jax and Brittany to get pregnant, because they couldn't go do all the same things that other people are doing. So, like, it would be essential for Bo and Stassi to get pregnant, or Katie and Tom to get pregnant. I have a gut feeling. I don't think that Katie and Tom are going to try and get pregnant anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
It just does not seem like it's in the cards for them.
I agree.
And thank God for that.
And we know Ariana and Tom don't want to, or yeah. Ariana doesn't want to have kids.
Yeah.
So it'd probably be like, I think
Stassi and Brittany.
Yeah. And then Kristen probably would, just for fun. She'd feel left out. So
she'd just go get knocked up by someone somewhere.
And then we'd see a whole season of, like, Sheena trying, but not succeeding.
Yeah,
in getting the knocked
Sheena's
up.
Frozen her eggs, which yes. She made the big deal about.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kristen and Carter, I hope that this means they're breaking up soon.
I think it'll be a compelling storyline if they do.
But then
I need to see it, though. I need to see it. Like, don't show me just a flashback footage of them fighting. Like, I need to see this whole breakup happen.
There was a true Star is Born at Sir moment, and I don't know if you caught this guy, because it was just a glimpse. But Brittany's, like, walking into, like, the kitchen or something, and she goes, "Oh, excuse me." Right. to this man with long hair just holding a cocktail with like a leather cuff.
Yes.
Staring into the void.
I do think we need more of him. And I do know exactly who you're talking about. It was like her just going to the check-in machine or whatever the fuck that's called. And yes, he was a star.
Yeah.
Where is he at? What's he doing? What's his story?
Featured. I need him as like a featured cast member next season.
Get him next season in there.
Even if he's just lurking always at Sir and he's just like the Sir lurker where everyone's like, oh my God, that guy's back. And no one knows his name.
He's like that. Who's that guy James lived with? He's like Paul.
Paul.
He's the new Paul.
He's sexier than Paul. He has powerful hair.
You know, I was at the gym the other day and on the treadmill, they were playing an old episode from the season. And this is just coming to mind. This has nothing to do with what you're talking about. But remember that flashback at the beginning of the season of James trying on underwear?
Mm-hmm.
It just came
to
my
Supreme.
Head. It just popped in my head. And I needed to stop and say it. I needed to voice what was going on in my head.
Limited edition Supreme underwear.
Like, it was such a bizarre little vignette that we got. It was not have to do with Paul or that other lurker.
Because wasn't he trying them on in his old apartment?
And he was like in the mirror talking to himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a beautiful thing. Was Paul like, in that scene? I don't remember.
No, but he probably had like some creepy like undercover camera.
100%.
Pointed at James.
Sure.
That's like connected to a monitor in his bedroom.
There was like Paul's camera and then the production crew was there too. Do you ever feel like that where just random scenes from these people's past pop in your head?
Yeah. I think about them a lot.
Yeah.
And just like I've been thinking about Stassi's hair a lot recently, like especially her season one hair, because it was so like shiny and voluptuous. And then I found myself wondering today if like her season one hair was extensions or if she just like cut it and then it got over dyed or something because it's like not the same texture, and then had like a long think about her hair.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Bob in there.
Just things like that
just
of
random
that nature.
Things pop in your head. I know Kristen Takeman from The Real Housewives of New York always pops in my head sometimes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like randomly I'll be walking down the street and it's like, and it's almost like a soothing moment when any of these people pop in my head, because it's like I'm such an anxious person that it's nice when something like Peter just comes in my head and it's like
it takes away from the stresses of day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. It like allows you to just breathe
and to focus your brain on something like Stassi's hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. It's therapeutic.
It's totally therapeutic to just go through in your head and be like, okay, Stassi's hair season one, and then you're just like you're focused on figuring it all out.
Have you ever like
probably
have you okay do you have a therapist?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever like talked about like any sort of reality show stuff to your therapist? I mean, or talked about like, because I'll find myself being like my talking about drama, but then I'm like also about podcasting stuff, and then I have to be like on my podcast about Vanderpump Rules, and it's like, and then I'm just like, what does she think about this?
Yes.
And I don't ever ask her, because I really I don't want to know if she thinks it's dumb, but like I also am like,
she does think it's
she
dumb,
definitely probably. Is like, you're an idiot.
Yeah. You know, I recently stopped seeing my therapist because she was just always like, I would meet her at her house, which I was curious about Jax and Brittany at their therapist, because I was wondering where they were.
That therapist's office, both the therapist's office weren't great.
Because they had a window air unit with Jax and Brittany's, and I thought, is that a reputable therapist? But anyway, my therapist, I used to go to her house, and she would always like forget, and then she'd like run to the door with like her hair wet, and she'd be like, oh, I was in the shower, sorry I'm late, or something like that. It was like very dark.
Yeah.
But
that's Vanderpump Rules style therapy.
Totally. Like, she's probably going to be on next season. But I would talk about like podcasts. I'd be like, somebody said this mean comment about my podcast. And I was just sure she just was rolling her eyes.
She's like, what the hell?
I know, your podcast?
I had to be, when Stassi made her book announcement, it really triggered me. And I had to like talk about that in therapy. And I was like, just like, don't know what to do, because like, she is a book deal. And like, what does that mean for me and Myla? And I was like, the things that I'm saying right now, everything's valid if you're feeling something, if you see something, say something, but I'm also just like...
The book deal was tough, too. I felt the same.
Yeah.
Like, that was tough to watch, because it's like, well, what is this book?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really, even when the press release was confusing to me, it was like, she's going to talk about being a basic person or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, what is that? Like, I've been doing comedy for 100 years.
Yeah.
And why don't I have that book deal?
And, like, I feel like I wrote that book.
You did. You did.
8 years ago. But anyways, here we go. Like,
here it
great.
Goes again. Yeah,
awesome.
You literally wrote that book.
Amazing.
She's probably going to write
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. And so, yeah, it was a real crisis of faith.
Identities, faith.
Yeah, but, you know, we moved on.
Move on, and then you just focus on her hair journey. Yeah,
just think about her hair.
I know. I'm curious about that book, though. I want to read it. I'm just curious what it is.
Yeah, we got to get galleys.
Yeah.
Which I think we can do.
I feel like we can do that.
Yeah. Okay. We're doing it. Jax is joking about getting hookers at guys' night.
They also joked about bringing dildos there. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I'm all for that, them having dildos there. It'd be fun to watch, but I...
They love a dildo lol, the, like, guys
love,
on the show.
I know, they love... They always have, like, putting their asshole in each other's faces and, like, yeah, all that stuff.
Remember when Jax used to, like, fart on them? Mm-hmm. I feel like we don't get any of that anymore.
Or the, like, remember they put the meat up their ass or, like, wipe their ass with meat?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was, like, a lot of, like, frat humor.
So frat, like, homoerotic. Like lols with each other.
Yeah, and I always enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm like, bring the dildos to guys' night.
Let's get a dildo. I could just picture them already, like, drunk, like Schwartz is passed out and like Jax and Tom Sandoval
just, like,
are wiping
kind of
the
slapping
dildo
his face with the dildo.
That'd be fun footage.
Yeah, I think, like, I loved also the flashbacks of guys' nights from the past because it reminded me what a great show this used to be. Yeah, like, where, yeah, I was, yeah, like, oh my god, like, they used to go to Vegas and, like, Jax railed girls in the bathroom. I remember there was one scene of him, like, crawling into an elevator because he couldn't walk. Like, they used to get fucking crazy.
Yeah, they did get crazy.
And
they
now
did.
Everyone's kind of like,
it's a little bit bored. I mean, it's a
but
lot.
But it's hard too. They're in their late 30s. Like, you cannot party like you. I can't. I certainly cannot.
No, I couldn't either. I don't know how. I don't know how they can film this show because they, during filming, I feel like they're expected to drink, like, a lot during filming. Or
the girls pregame a trip, like a wine tasting, by taking shots.
I mean, that's, I can't do, I can do that maybe like once every 4 months-ish now.
Yeah.
I've, you know, like, I can't drink like I used to. Mm-mm. And so I couldn't imagine, they're around the same age as me. It's like, they're older. Jax is older.
So, yeah, Jax is much older.
They're much older. But so,
but like, they're drinking hard alcohol from like 11 a.m. then into like a hotel. Like, I can't drink like during the day.
And then to film the next day. Like, if I were doing that, like, I would be like, get the camera fucking out of here.
I would look like shit.
I would look like shit. I would have so much anxiety. I get anxiety now when I drink the next day. Like, the next day.
Absolutely.
My anxiety is through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
Like, there would be no way I could be on camera.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Yet they manage to like power through.
I don't know how they do it.
I think maybe it's like they're just, they never stopped drinking. So like, if you consistently keep drinking, you don't really notice how much it affects you. Cause like, for me, when I've stopped drinking, like, I do Dry January and you notice like how different you feel. And then you add a drink to the mix and you're like, oh my God, I'm like a pile of nerves. Then you're like, oh, this isn't great. And then, but I don't think they've had that necessarily.
No. You know, that was the worst thing about, I've noticed getting older, is that the anxiety the next day, which I never had in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I hit my 30s, it was like, oh, now the anxiety is through the roof the next day of drinking. And apparently it's a thing.
Oh, it's a total thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have to keep it to like 2 glasses of wine or something. And even that's kind of playing with fire.
The last time I drank, I saw, we were at Tom Tom together and I like had to excuse, I was like, okay, I had enough. I have to excuse myself. It's like,
but it's a lot too.
It's a lot. Cause
there were like, lots of cast members.
There was a lot of cast members around.
There was
us.
Like so much going on.
A lot going on. Like Sheena had shown up. Like there was a lot happening.
I had drank a lot that night and didn't realize it, but I also didn't necessarily even feel drunk. Like I think it was just, I was like on sensory overload and I was also really worried that Tom Sandoval was mad at me because of his Road to Sur episode because he didn't acknowledge my presence and we definitely like know each other to the point where we could say hi to each other and like recognize each other, and so he wasn't acknowledging me. Then I was like having like
spiraling,
a panic attack like inside, and then finally at the very end of the night, like 10 minutes before I left, he was like, oh my God, it's you.
So he didn't even know.
He didn't even recognize me. He goes,
oh my God.
Didn't even know you have dark hair now. That's crazy. And I was like, oh my God, that's what it's been the whole time. And then I was like, I gotta go.
I had a similar spiral with Sheena that night because I had met her a couple times. I had met her like not a bunch of times, but enough that it's like, I mean, I know they all meet a lot of people all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's like, hi.
She should
like,
know.
She didn't know who I was at first. And then like the next week she invited me on her podcast.
Yeah. So it's like, you just can't take anything personally.
No, no. But we were drinking. The point is we were drinking a lot that night.
They kept bringing over shots.
They were bringing over shots and it was like you said, sensory overload. And then I was like, I have to go or else like I will literally be a mess.
Yeah. It's like when you take a little kid to like Disneyland and they've gone like all day and they have seen the everything crash. They want to see. Yeah. And then there's like, they just throw a tantrum at the end.
And it's almost too much to see it all up close. It's almost too much. Like it's way more fun, I think, to just watch it on the TV than to see it all up close. But
because I also get kind of weird in person or like, I feel like I can't be 100% myself. Which doesn't feel good because I like to just be myself.
Right.
So I don't know. There's a lot.
Right. Right.
But, you know.
Can we talk about James's mom?
This is.
I'm sorry to.
No, I. We need to talk about it.
I just feel like I'm thinking about her a lot. And I don't know. I'm curious if you can answer. How do you feel about watching her? Because I'm on the fence. I don't know if it's too. Too much or something about it is or icks me out a little bit too much, or if I think it's the best, most compelling TV ever.
It is really compelling TV, but it also is insanely dark.
Yeah.
Like it's
more than anything I think more than anything. Seen on
this
show.
The number one darkest person on 100%. Vanderpump like, Rules.
And I think she's making wonderfully compelling TV. Like it's so great to watch, not great to watch, but it's
I don't think
the fuck am I trying to say unwatch. I'm not
you can't tear yourself away.
Tear yourself away.
Yeah, but like I wonder if she's in on that fact. It seems like she's not in on it.
I don't think she is. I think that's why we're having this visceral reaction to her because I don't think it feels fake.
No,
and even that one scene we saw in this episode where James was like on the phone outside the therapist office, it was like that wasn't planned or staged. Like
no, you saw you like a producer in the scene like kind of walking quickly towards him. Also, I love that his therapist is like, you need to set a boundary, and he immediately goes to like call and scream at his mom. Like there wasn't any sort of he's like, he's the kind of person we'll just do it right now.
Which
is like so James, but also you could have maybe waited
at least till the cameras like were in their car.
That scene where his mom, like everything about her is poetry. Like she enters his apartment, she has a dog that's really cute with one ear.
Yeah, the dog was
the dog was adorable.
We were texting about it. What did you say about the dog? You said we needed the dog.
We needed that dog to like
otherwise
diffuse.
It would have been too dark.
Yeah, so thank God that that dog was in frame constantly.
You're so right. Like we needed that dog there.
Yeah, and like the fact that they're having this conversation, Raquel is in between them.
Raquel just standing there, she's getting ready to go off on her amazing race.
Yeah, like she knows that she's out of her league, like that she shouldn't be there, but she also doesn't know how to excuse herself. Like
Raquel's a mess.
She's
such a fucking mess.
Yeah, like any normal person, like if that was me, I'd be like, I'm going to let you guys talk. Like, I need to go to the bathroom or something. Like, find some excuse to get the fuck out of that conversation.
She's just not all there all the time. Like, she freezes. Just, like, literally, like, freezes. And I might be that way, too, if I was on camera. But, like, she just seems like she just, like, gets that. It's very stereotypical when you watch a scripted, like, sitcom or something and they have to give a speech in front of people. It's like, that's what happens to Raquel, like, every time she's on fucking camera.
Yeah.
Like, she just pauses and, like, what do I say?
Her eyes get really wide and then she's just looking and it's like, what is going through? Her Raquel, head. I speak. Wish that you could hear like her inner monologue.
There, I don't know that there's anything there. It's just tumbleweeds.
I think she goes like she seems like she goes to like a happy place. Like she just turns off and then waits for it to be over. So she tunes back in and realizes it's still going on and then goes back to the happy place. But like, you know, doesn't just get out.
You know what I picture is in her head? Do you remember, this is a deep cut, but do you remember back in when Nintendo 64 was out?
Yeah.
Remember when Super Smash Brothers came out and the commercials on TV were like, imagine me and you and me. And the characters, like the Nintendo characters were like in their fluffy costumes or whatever, like dancing in a prairie field.
Yeah, I do. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That is Raquel's head. I know it's like a super deep
cut, but I feel like that's what's going on in Raquel's head.
Yeah, it's like Care Bears or something.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, like she just is dreaming, but manages to like still have her eyes open, but she's mentally checked out. Like if you were like, Raquel, and like it would take her a few seconds to like come back into reality.
Yes.
But like James's mom...
Wait, real quick though, to back up, I love that they scheduled Ariana's scene with James the same time as James's mom coming over. Like,
yeah,
I'm curious about the logistics of that. Like, did they allow Ariana and James like 1 hour to film, and then they were like, okay, the mom's coming in now?
I guess.
What was that call she like?
I think it was just like, we're gonna film at James's apartment today. I feel like they're stacking a lot of filming scenes on top of each other, yeah, on this season.
Do you think the cast was like, okay, we're shooting less time, like now they're making demands, I don't know.
Like, because I felt like we go to Sir two separate times in this episode. Is it two or three? I think it's two. But it shows Jax and Tom bartending both times, but it's supposed to be different days, but they look exactly the same. And I think that they, like, Lisa maybe changed shirts and entered Sir twice and filmed, like, I think that they're just stacking the scenes.
You know, see, I like when it's more with, like, that scene with James outside the therapist where, like, they caught him. Mm-hmm. I want more of that stuff. Like, I don't need it to look so polished. No. I don't need it to look as polished as, like, a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Like, no,
that
or show even, I like, want. The Hills. Right. Like, I don't want that. Sometimes that's specifically why I like this show. Mm-hmm.
Lately, I feel like they're over-polishing.
It's so over-polished.
Get
back to the gritty.
The gritty realness.
We got, like, that's what cemented the show.
The thing I like most about this show is them outside that fucking dumpster. I want to see them at the dumpster. Have we gotten any of that Sir Dump?
The alley has fucking been retired.
I am just thinking of this now.
A tragedy.
Like, we got that one beautiful scene of Kristen confronting James with Hope by the dump. Mm-hmm. But I want more of that dump.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get it anymore. Those are my favorite scenes. Those were the best. Like, the alley gets featured less and less as time goes on. And it's truly like,
we need to get back to the roots.
Yeah. I miss it.
I miss that dump.
Or just like let them spread their wings and go. Like, they'll find an alley. You know what I mean? Like, just, they're the kind of people that will find, they will make an alley where there is none.
And I'm happy to watch them in any alley.
Yeah. If you just let them go a little bit. Like, if you alley. Love something, let them go. Like, they'll the producers, find they'll find their alley. They'll make an alley.
They'll find their alley.
Yeah, they will.
You're right. You're right. They'll find their alley. Yeah, and I don't
They were
mean,
born of an alley. Like, it is in their DNA.
They're alley cats.
Yeah, they're alley children.
We need to see that. And that's the realness that's missing this.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're missing this season. It doesn't feel real, and we need more of that cinema verite. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's like, just whatever they're doing, let's follow them in their alleys.
Mm-hmm. Let them live.
Yeah.
Don't try and rein them in.
Another devastating thing is that scene right before James' mom showed up and we saw the flashback of Ariana in the studio. Why the fuck didn't we see the actual studio footage?
Yeah.
I love a Bravo celebrity in the studio.
I love specifically Vanderpump Rules people in a studio environment. Ariana's voice left a lot to be desired, but like, that's kind of run of the mill for these people on this show specifically.
Yes.
But I... Like, you said you were listening to the song on loop, like, before you came over.
Right. I listened to it over 5 times. And let me tell you something. The first time, I didn't understand it. The second time, I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
The third time, I was very offended by it. I don't know why I was just offended by it. And then the fourth time, I really liked it. I was like, oh, okay, now I'm into it. And then by the fifth and listen and beyond, I was like looking for the ringtone. Like, I love it now.
Yeah.
But it's very bizarre. Like, the first couple listens, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I have only listened to clips of it, but I really like it.
You like it.
I'm like a fan of it. I think it's catchy. It's kind of weird. Like,
James on the JK.
It's avant-garde. It's like giving me like, it's showing James's artistic breadth with which I am a fan of always.
My one major complaint about the song is I would rather it been Sheena on the song because I feel like it would have been funnier to see Sheena try to do a live performance of it.
Yeah.
Because it's like any live performance of that is going to be weird. And I hope to God we get one because it's just like, they're so, what's the vocalizer or whatever. It's like,
yeah, they're like
the female part in that song is like, I. So I would love to see Sheena just being on stage somewhere being like, I. It'd be more embarrassing and funny to watch than Ariana. Cause I feel like, I don't know, Ariana's more self-aware or something. So it wouldn't
But why is she in the stew? Like, why? I mean, why not go in the stew if you're invited? But like, what is this about? Like, right.
We've never seen this on camera or something. And I'm also confused.
I didn't know she had these aspirations.
Me either. And I'm also confused because when the release of it came out, when they dropped the single,
they kind of just like did low it, key.
They low key did it, but did you see the wording? I don't know if it was James or Ariana. Their wording on their Instagram made it seem like this is the first song of an album. Maybe I was reading too much into it. Maybe I'm wrong. I felt that I
just got lightheaded. Like, yeah, you got to look it up.
I think it was James, his Instagram or something. It was like, here's our first one or something like that. And I thought, holy fuck, like, are we getting a whole fucking album from these two?
I hope so.
Or is
it
like
so.
Part of James's thing?
But like, since when did Ariana have ambitions to be a singer?
It wasn't James. Okay, so where did I see it? Maybe I'm making this up too.
Was it on Twitter? I feel like they dropped it very kind of like whatever. Like it was out last week.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, like because people had posted it in online and like that's when I first heard it. And then I would think that they would try and make a bigger deal out of it, but it seemed like it was just kind of like a one-off like.
I just got I logged into my Instagram, you know, and I got a DM from Kayla from Lohan Beach House. About coming on my show.
Okay. Oh my God, amazing. Wait, have you found Aristotle?
No.
Okay, he's my goal of finding. I just want to find him. He's so hot.
We need to book these like people on somewhere.
Yeah. I'm here for them. I'm here for them going on your show.
Wait, so I don't know though if it was, I swear I saw it somewhere that it was worded as if they were going to do more than one song. Ariana,
okay,
James.
I mean, I'm in, but like, give me the fucking backstory.
Yeah. No, it was just such a glossed over moment.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Me neither. You're leaving out these like juiciest.
I.
What is the song? What are the lyrics? Do you know?
It's that I just did them.
So that's
it. I. She's like, I know.
You think I will, but I won't. It's like,
and he goes, JK on the 333s. JK on the 333s.
Okay,
which
amazing.
I know that JK is his initials, but it's also very confusing because I just think, just kidding.
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
His whole career is a JK. I mean,
have you listened to his podcast? I haven't listened to it.
I haven't yet. Yep. I need to subscribe.
We need
I need to
dive
subscribe
in,
and rate it 5 stars. I'm fully supportive. I think that everyone should have a podcast. I think
me
his
too.
Name for it is great. I love that he got the Rick and Morty's guys to do his podcast.
Adorable art.
Yeah.
I also love the art of their single of that.
Yeah, I think
thought
it's
it was good.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm here for James Kennedy's journey as like an artist, a DJ, a podcaster. I think
he's a hustler and so is Lala. The two
he's
of
a hustler
are hustlers.
And when we got that flashback, like I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but like when Guillermo references James in 2014 coming into Sir and wanting to be the DJ, I thought to myself like, wow, he has come really far.
Right.
Like he has done what he set out to do.
Right.
And who else on this fucking show has done that?
No, I mean, out of all the cast members, I think Lala and James are the most, even though they've been the most people to take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, like they've at least done a lot of stuff outside. And Stassi,
and
I think
Stassi
is doing
has
a
done
good
a
job
lot too, but yeah. It's like, she has, it's not necessarily like she's accomplished, but she also kind of found her way into XYZ. They, I feel like, set out. James is like, I want to be a DJ. That's what he's doing.
Do you think
like,
it was because they came on later or something? Or I don't know. But I do. They.
I think so. And they're
yeah.
also younger.
They're younger.
Because everyone on the show, I mean, Stassi was young when the show started, but like most of the cast was like coming from a perspective of being like in their 30s, still really wanting to just be famous, like not really having any idea what they were doing. Yeah. And then they got these two like hustlers that really had a vision for themselves.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They really did have a vision. I mean, when they started, I feel like people like Tom Sandoval, when he was doing the music and stuff, he had some sort of like
blurry vision.
It was
of something.
Very blurry. Yeah,
yeah.
It was like, but Lala and James came in like, this is what I wanted. James is like, I'm going to be a world famous DJ and I'm going
to
do music.
I'm going to go to Coachella.
And he's focused on that. And even his podcast, I think it's about music or something. So I at least think it's focused.
Yeah, we got to listen.
Yeah. It's not about the podcast.
It's not about the podcast. It's really good. Katie says that she used to think Lala was a ratchet little gold digger until she finally went on the private jet. And then she just realized.
This 180 was. And I like how they talked about it in her confessional. She's like, yeah, I said that.
And she's like, and then I went on and it was fine. So, which is like literally
totally honest.
Yeah.
I was at least happy that we were being honest about it.
Yeah.
I just, it's like the revisionist history on the show and like the total flip flopping. Like people get mad at Sheena for being like a flip flopper, but I'm like, all it took was one private jet trip to like a 25 minute private jet trip for you guys to just totally be like chill.
I know. What, didn't she say they went to Vegas or something? What's the private jet to Vegas take? 45 minutes. Probably.
45 minutes. Yeah. I don't think he takes private jets like to far off locations. Like I don't think Randall would foot the bill for a private jet to from LA to New York or New York to LA.
I do think it feels gross though that everyone hated Lala and then now they love her because of the private jet. I'm not saying that it's not relatable.
Yeah, I mean, if you had like a person in your circle that was really fucking annoying, but then they were like, come on the private jet, like I would go.
Wait, so do you think if Sheena was the one with the private jet, do you think it'd be the same situation where they're all friends with her or closer with her?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're all kind of users at the end of the day. Like, and they all have aspiration, so like whoever is serving them the most, like whoever they can get the most out of. Or it's like, I feel like a big thing with James is like he is really popular. He had like a draw. His See You Next Tuesdays were lit. Like I went to two of them. I can attest to it's like
I
people
went to one
organically
too.
Showed up to those, like loved it. And like I feel like they're either really threatened by that kind of stuff and don't know how to deal with it, so they'll ice. Or if it serves them in some way and they can get in on the action, then it's like that person's chill. Jackson Brittany in therapy is insane. And I just realized, I don't think that Jax has even seen this therapist since last season.
No, I don't think so either.
Since
I think
he filmed
with her.
This was
the first time since filming.
Yeah. And he comes in and they say, we're engaged. Oh, yeah, we're engaged.
I'm engaged.
Now. And she goes,
I'm on the brim of freaking
out. We're fiancés now. And the therapist goes, exciting.
She's like, did you work out your stuff from last year?
They're like, no.
Nope.
And
no one did.
I really, my theory is like she would not have taken this except she's pregnant obviously and like just wants like a quick check.
She needs a quick check.
She's like, I need a quick check, I have another kid on the way, like
I don't
want to
meet with them.
I don't want to do this. This is bad for maybe my brand, but like, you know what, I got mouths to feed. Yeah,
got it. We all got bills to pay.
She asked them what
you
like
can't hate
to
on
do.
Anyone's hustle. People got bills
no,
to pay.
I'm like, I really have no hate for that hustle.
No, me either.
I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
If I were 9 months pregnant and someone was like,
yeah,
talk to Jackson Brittany about their relationship.
Yeah, you sit him down in front of me in front
let's
of that air
it.
Conditioner unit and
yeah.
Let's go. Let's film
it's
it.
Dead of summer. It's like the middle of a heat wave.
I just don't understand that. Like if a reputable therapist wouldn't have an office with a window unit.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a, yeah. Looks like a home office, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be loud and like distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to be crying about my dad and then also have like a like, window
right behind their ears.
Yeah.
And then also
into the back of your neck where it's kind of like blowing your hair forward. Like, and it's like your hair gets stuck to your tears and you're just like,
like. And then she has to keep being like, what'd you say? Cause she couldn't hear their voice. Like, Brittany's soft spoken. So
yeah.
She couldn't hear him. Yeah. And then they have to turn it off. And then when they turn it off, they just sweat.
Yeah.
And then also, I think like, during filming, they always have to turn off the air because it's too noisy. Or, you know, if any loud units or something, they have to turn off the air. So like,
that's why they're so sweaty all the time.
That's why they're always sweaty, because they can't put on their air conditioning because
oh
they all have window units. So they're
just
filming.
Like, why are they so fucking
sweaty?
I'm sure
it's also drugs. But
yeah, with Jax, it's like Just Add X.
A mix of cocaine, like
whatever.
Just Add X, yeah. And the window air units being off.
She asked them what they like to do, and Jax is like, we like to stay home, play games, and laugh.
What?
They're just laughing
they're
all
just
the
laughing
time.
At
I love,
each other.
Like, we just love to laugh.
We just giggle at each other's jokes.
And Jax is like terrifying. He shuts down and gets really scary. He's like
his
rolling
face,
his eyes.
I know. He did look very fit. I was noticing during this scene, he looked fitter than ever before, or fitter than a while since like season one to it.
He's whipping himself into
shape. And that during that scene, he was wearing like shorts and we could see his legs. And I thought, oh, this is the first time I'm noticing this transformation of his, you know, losing weight or whatever.
His glow up. Brittany looks stunning as well. Mm-hmm. I love it when she lets her like freckles shine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I love Brittany's confessional look with the curly, crimped hair.
That wild lion's mane.
It looks like Taylor Dane.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I love that look.
It's a really, it's a wild look that I was at first very averse to, but now I'm kind of coming around.
Me too. The first time I saw it, I was taken aback, but then now I love it.
I'm just accepting her beauty choices. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you have to do with Brit.
Yeah. Yeah. Except, they're very big, bold
except
choices.
Except the beauty and the fashion.
They're very bold choices she makes all the time. But yeah, when you just kind of let them wash over you and you just say, okay, I'm not judging these. I'm just going to enjoy them.
Give in to it. Mm-hmm. Jax goes, I don't understand. I don't understand like why we should talk about it. It's okay to not understand. Like him trying to reason with people like and manipulate is really scary to me. And
it Brittany, made me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She like falls right into his traps.
Yeah. She just took it and she agreed that why, you know, she started to talk about the situation, but you could tell she wasn't really even going there as far as she wanted to.
No. Cause once he starts saying something, she's like, oh, I know, honey, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. And it's just like, I would love to see her. I like Brittany's rage.
Mm-hmm. When Brittany gets mad, that's when I like her the most. When she's on the brim of freaking out, that's when I am fully on board with Brit.
Yeah. And I feel like all that rage is simmering underneath everything she does.
That scene, I know I keep saying that stupid phrase, I'm on the brim of freaking out. I'm on the brim of freaking out. But that whole scene, I felt like that was a weird moment where she didn't want to film and she's taken off the mic pack. And I thought we were seeing like a different version of Brittany than we had seen before. And I loved that.
Yeah.
Cause it was like, she couldn't hold it down anymore. She was on the brim.
She's totally brimming.
And so that moment of when she was leaving that apartment and then we see her in that fucking hallway.
That hallway.
That was one of the most chilling moments we've seen in this season, at least.
Yeah. And the door's kind of shutting on her slowly, like that hallway door. She's like ripping them out.
But and then her mic was still on and she was like in the apartment yelling at Jax.
Yeah.
That was like, that was a Brittany that we don't see.
We need more of that. But that's why when she does this, like, I always believed in fairies.
I love fairies.
That's why I'm like, you're making up for the fact that you're filled to the brim with anger and emotions.
Yeah, it's all there. And I think she does this thing where she tries to be sweet, sugary sweet on camera.
Mm-hmm.
But we get moments of the real Brittany, which we all love.
I want the truth.
And we all feel that way. I think like we all have been in those moments and where you try to present yourself as one way, but then you're on the brim of freaking out and you lose it.
If you're going to marry Jax Taylor, you're going to have a lot of shit that you have to work through. And you're going to have a lot of anger and feelings about shit that's gone on in the relationship. And someone needs to tell her, and she really just needs to tell herself, that it's okay to be mad. Like, no one is not going to like you because you're getting mad.
Yes, when you're losing a little bit.
Like, I like everyone on the show the way they are. Like, they're
we need
truth.
Her in therapy alone.
Yeah. I think she should always be in therapy alone. Your first entree should not be with like a partner.
No, and that
monitoring everything you say.
I always think everyone should go to therapy, but also her with, I mean, think about her life. Like, let's just take a moment. She moved here so rapidly to be with him and then entered this relationship that they haven't had, have they had one 12 month period of bliss? Like, they've had such, you know, craziness. And the craziness started right when she moved to another state.
They've never been apart, actually. Yeah. Like, they didn't, it's not like she moved here and had her own apartment and own place. Like, she moved immediately into his studio.
So many life changes, and to just pretend like, it's just a lot of your life to be so different than it used to be. And now you're on a TV show. Like, she was never on, she was never like aspiring to be in the public eye. Or I mean, maybe she was.
I mean, I think she was like a beauty queen. And like, I think someone had written in and said that she and Jax met at like when he was doing a meet and greet in Las Vegas.
I had heard that too.
And so she like went there specifically to meet him.
And I guess, I don't know if this is exactly true, but I think she had said in interviews she never watched the show, but then Sherry had said she watched the show or something like that.
Maybe there was a lot of like kind of nebulous, like, did they know, did they not? But like, I feel like there's some level of calculation at play. Mm-hmm. But now she's in this world and like, this is her life and like, this is her future. It would definitely serve her to like, because shoving it down, it's only going to like, it could end up coming out on like a future child or something like that. If you don't feel like comfortable confronting your man about this kind of stuff, like it has to go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. She needs to do the therapy alone.
Yeah. She needs to do like a retreat, like a anger retreat.
Or like one of those Oprah Super Soul Sunday retreats, which I bought tickets for once and then I had to cancel because I had a thing. But my friend Jill and I were going to go. It's like a whole weekend long retreat where like you do therapy things and stuff.
Oh my God. Cool. Yeah. There's a lot of those popping up these days, mm-hmm. like lots of opportunities. I would love to see any of the Vanderpump people go and, but also on camera.
Right.
Yeah.
The only one in the, I mean, Ariana is the only one who's always on camera being like, you need to go to therapy. Like,
yeah, like, she really people. Gets like has a sense of reality that no one else really has.
Yeah.
And then Katie is like just being very sanctimonious about everyone else's relationship. And I'm like, it bothers me so, so much.
You know, the Katie and Schwartz of it all, I feel like there's a lot bubbling under there that we're not seeing any of their relationship this season.
No, and I think that's for a reason.
And there must be something going on, or at least maybe there's nothing going on now, but I wouldn't be surprised if like this bliss isn't lasting.
No.
I think something.
Yeah. I feel my instinct and like intuition just tells me that like, it was like, you're not showing this, or like, we're not going to let this be.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about it, and they haven't had anything to do this season. Like, we've seen Schwartz with the Tom stuff, but Katie hasn't really. I guess she gave Lisa that. Yeah.
There's no couple
stuff.
There's
not a whole lot.
Yeah. It's just like them in their weird, like, hoarder's den in an apartment. Like, when they're packing, I was just like looking around at like all the clutter everywhere. And then like Stassi comes in. She's like, it's so clean in here. I was like, in what fucking world?
I really want them to put a GoPro camera on that Bubba picture.
Yeah.
And like, so we can see what's going on in that apartment.
That would be a good perspective.
Like, just like put the camera on the Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
That Bubba picture.
When do you think they will finally get rid of the Bubba picture?
Look, I would have thought it would have been years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're committed to it now. Like, yeah. I feel like they're at the point where we're like, fuck you guys. Everyone hates it. We're going to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a big fuck you.
They're trying to be rebellious.
Yeah.
The only person they're hurting is themselves.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious what season two all these people are going to be moving.
Jacqueline gives it truly an Emmy speech. Like her monologue to James when so he's paying her $200 every other day.
Like, that's crazy. What's the money going to?
About $2,400 a month, anywhere between like $24,000 to like $30,000 or $3,000 a month.
So where is that money going?
James doesn't know. And he like keeps asking
Something's
her. He's like, what? You just need to tell me like what I'm doing. Then she's like, no. And then she's like, you don't even give me that much anyways. And he goes, do you want me to show you the PayPal? And then she's like, well, whatever. And like backs down from that argument.
Are we dancing around a drug problem?
I don't know.
I'm not saying
$200
true or
every
false.
Other day.
It just
is a
seems
weird, like
a weird amount. And because if it was like once a month, he was giving her $3,000, that'd be different to me than $200 every few days.
Yeah. Like, can I have another $200?
Yeah, like something's up. That's what is fishy to me.
And she's
maybe
so
not drugs. Maybe
sober.
It's a fashion addiction. She's got like nice. I was looking at her outfits and she looked like she's dressed nice. I was like, maybe it's that. I don't know.
Maybe it's like plastic surgery stuff.
But there's something. $200 every few days is not the same as $3,000 a month.
Yeah, it's a sketchy amount. She goes, this was honestly, if I had to like perform in an acting class, I would do this monologue where she goes, was I a shit mother? You went to a 50,000 pound school a year. Ralph Lauren, Burberry, great vacations. You took your first steps at Tiffany.
You took your first step at excuse me. You took your first step at Tiffany is literally like one of the best lines we've seen on this show. Like that it tells you so much. Like her saying that to him tells us so much about their relationship, about who she is as a mother, about who he is as a son. Like it gives us everything it's wonderful.
She is like,
I haven't heard a scripted line like that. I mean,
no.
I'm thinking of like, think about when you see a mother son or mother daughter film, drama or comedy. Screenwriters wish they could write a line like that.
This was Sopranos level dialogue.
Yes.
Like truly,
yes.
David Chase is shook.
Shook.
And Jacqueline like needs an award for this, but also needs to be physically restrained and hauled off to the psych ward, because for any mother to do that to their son, where they're like, I gave you a good life and now you owe me $200 every time I ask you to PayPal me.
Shocking.
Is it's a shocking no-no.
And crazy and bizarre. And their relationship is, I can't wrap my head around it, but it gives us so much information about James, and it makes us feel bad about James.
I feel terrible for James.
Yeah.
I also am like,
I wonder how the other people, I wonder how like people like Katie obviously hates James, and I think Stassi hates James.
Yeah.
So I wonder what they think watching this show and seeing James be edited into a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
Because the early in the season, he was looking like a monster. He called Katie fat and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And now he's really like, they're editing him to look good.
Yeah.
Whether people like him or not, he's being edited to be liked.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that pisses them off, because they're like, he's called me fat and he's a monster.
I mean, according to them, there's like so much that's happened with James that we're not even allowed to see. And like, but I'm like, are they just being jealous haters?
Jealous
or are they,
haters.
Yeah, I feel like they're just jealous, just haters. Jealous haters.
I don't know. Something. There's more to that story, I think. You're right.
Yeah, there's more to a lot more.
The relationships there. There's also more to the relationship between LVP and James and James's mother and that whole thing, because that confuses me too.
Yeah, like why can she just waltz in there and then like she basically goes to Lisa and asks for James's job back so she can have more money. Like in Jacqueline's mind, I think she truly thinks that it's like never occurred to her that she should get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm. Why isn't she asking for a job?
Yeah, I thought that if she was going to ask for a job I'd at watch first, that. I would 100% her as a new server. Maybe that's the new blood that we really need.
Oh, we do.
Is James's mom being on the
and
show.
And then let's get Dana, Stassi's mom, in as a buster.
I need Dana.
Get Sherry in there.
I need Vanderpump
Shana
moms.
As a Sherry as a host.
And Erica, yeah.
You know, my boyfriend walked in the room and he hasn't been watching the past couple seasons of Vanderpump Rules, but he's familiar with the people.
Yeah.
And he walked in the room when Jacqueline was on screen. He's like, is that Kristen?
Yes and no.
And that was an eye-opening experience for me because I never made that connection.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess I'm stupid. I never made that connection. Then all of a sudden it was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, you can't unsee it once you see it.
I thought, wow.
From the moment that she first like appeared on screen, like when she was talking about like Kristen being barren or whatever, like I was like, wait, she is Kristen and Kristen is Jacqueline. Okay. Jacqueline then goes to Sir. She asks Lisa if Harry can work there, and then she's like, okay, thanks, bye. Like, and that's when I was like, this is a child and an adult.
She
world.
Called her Vanderpump too. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Which I thought was weird to not call her Lisa.
How do they know each other? She must have something.
There's
over
something
Lisa.
Something over there. For sure, 100%. I don't believe otherwise. Like, there's something going on. And also, like, Lisa's a producer on this show, so I wonder the mechanics behind the scenes of, like, let's present James as a sympathetic character. She must have... I mean, she obviously has a soft spot in her heart for James.
Yeah.
As do I. But, like, what are...
I think that's why also we get not a lot of Katie being a monster, is because Lisa has a soft spot for Katie. So it's
I think the opposite. I think actually Lisa hates Katie.
No.
Oh, I totally do.
Really? Why?
Well, I think I thought that this season, because after that, when Katie met with Lisa and gave her the ultimatum,
yeah.
I think that pissed Lisa off.
You don't give Lisa Vanderpump ultimatum.
You do not give her an ultimatum.
That is not the way to go about
and
it.
I think they were talked about on Watch What Happens Live or somewhere. I saw either Katie or Lisa talking about it. Lisa's not happy with Katie for that whole thing.
Oh, okay.
So I think actually Lisa like is more than not happy. I think she hates Katie actually for giving like an ultimatum on camera.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's I think Lisa hates Katie.
I love that.
That's what I think.
Lisa's so fascinating to me because, like, you know that she has so many opinions that she never shares with anyone, mm-hmm. except, like, maybe Ken.
Or one of those dogs when they're sleeping.
She whispers into a dog's ear, like, yeah. Jiggy's passed out, and she's like, I fucking hate Katie Maloney.
I hate Katie Maloney.
I will destroy
her. I think the reunion's going to be good. Watch, like, the Lisa versus Katie. I think there's something there.
Okay. I love that twist.
I don't know if it was Lisa that I saw on Watch What Happens Live or Katie. All these people run together in my head. But they were talking about it, about that ultimatum scene. And you could tell Lisa was not happy about it.
Yeah, you don't, that's not the way you deal. Like, you should have learned from season two when Kristen called her and tried to do that. It's mm-hmm. like, you have to make Lisa feel like she's in control.
She's making the decisions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kristen is unapologetically late to the private jet.
I love that. Well, I also totally relate to Kristen's travel anxiety. I get bad travel anxiety, too.
I'm late to a lot of things, and usually to the airport, I'm, like, frantically trying to make it to the airport.
I could be 2 hours early to the airport, and I will still be frantic. Like, I could just get, you know, nuts.
Yeah.
And so I like that about her. But, two, I also say that, like, I wouldn't want to travel with that. Like, that'd be an... As someone who's already like that, like, I couldn't even handle somebody else, like...
No.
Get him away from me. I wouldn't take a car. I'd say, take your own car to the PJ.
Yeah, I'll meet you there. Like, love and light.
Like, well, let's meet there. We'll take our separate Ubers. Why wouldn't they take a fucking separate Uber?
I don't know. It's really bizarre. But, like, it's, if well, I know that I might...
From West Hollywood, it's like a $28 Uber.
Yeah. Like, they must be flying from either Burbank or, like, Santa Monica. Like, either way. Oh, yeah.
Or maybe there's, like, a private... In Van Nuys.
Oh, yeah. Van Nuys. That's what I was meaning.
Okay, but if they're in Van Nuys, then what? Like, it's literally the travel time was probably the same as driving.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't understand. Like, and if I thought that I was going to stress someone else out, like, by being late or court, I would have just been like, I'm going to handle this on my own. Like, don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kristen. And then she doesn't apologize.
No. Or Kristen, when she was, like, forgot the purse. Yeah. I don't know. She should have just said, okay, you guys go ahead. I'll.
Or why didn't Stassi just be like, I'm going to get my own. Like, you guys just deal with it. Like, I'm calling my own now.
Okay, but like,
it's kind of on Stassi too.
How funny, though, that like they were all not wanting to travel with Kristen or like do this whole trip with Kristen. But yet Kristen still had a roommate at the end of the day and Sheena had to live alone.
Yeah.
Like, people would rather stay with Kristen, who's a nightmare to be with, mm-hmm. than with Sheena.
But at least Kristen, like, Kristen's the kind of nightmare that you can just like bond with other people over, and like it's entertaining to some degree, because she's just gonna go fucking bonkers and like at least be kind of funny or like talk shit or like have some sort of comedy that she brings to the table.
It's so interesting that you say that, because there is something about when you're on a with a group, it's almost like a bonding experience when the rest of you can bond over hating somebody else, you know?
And with Kristen, it's like the eye roll, like, oh my God, like she's saying this crazy shit, like blah, blah, blah. But it's a different kind of hatred than Sheena, where it's just like, stop fucking talking. Like, I wish you were not here. And like Kristen is at least like, you're being just like insane.
The trolling that the editors are doing with Sheena this season is like world class. Like, they fucking change the music every time she's on camera. They're doing like artistic shots. Did you see the shot of Sheena in the room when they got the frog? It was like,
yeah,
it was like from an angle that I thought, like, they set up the camera at like a different angle just to get like a good shot of Sheena being alone in that room. And it's like, they are just trolling her so fucking hardcore, and I live for it.
That's like one thing you can count on in this world, is that Sheena will always be trolled on Vanderpump Rules, and she'll always give the producers and editors something to troll. Like, Sheena just cannot,
she
like,
can't help herself.
She can't help herself.
And they've fallen into this. And normally on reality TV, what's so interesting is people have a good season and a bad season, good season, bad season. I don't know that Sheena's ever going to have a season where she doesn't look embarrassing.
Yeah. She's never had
What season are we on?
We're on season seven. There's never been a season where Sheena's come out on top.
Even Kristen has had better seasons than Sheena's had.
Yeah, like I would even say last season Kristen had a great season. But I think a good season for Kristen is that you just don't see as much of her, because she is similar to Sheena in that she'll hang herself out to dry, because she cannot help herself.
Yeah.
Her like bringing her huge suitcase, also they're going somewhere for 2 days, and Sheena packed like she was going on like an international trip for weeks.
She brought the stuffed animal, she brought the stuffed animal, the frog.
She hauls her whole suitcase into her room and then it's like kind of sad. It's like,
and I think I texted you, like, the did you see on Twitter?
Yes.
Stassi said, oh, Sheena was single, so we let her have her own room in case she wanted to bring a man friend home. And Stassi said, otherwise I would have roomed alone. And then Sheena came back and said, actually, I've never had a one night stand. And she said she wanted to have a roommate, but no one would stay with her or something. I don't know, remember what it was.
Yeah.
But she was like, no, actually, like, you guys all just made me live alone.
I love to when Kristen, they go to check into that hotel, and then Kristen goes, I don't want a room with Stassi. But also Katie is like, kind of, I like her being like the mom of Kristen. Like, it's a really good role and makes me actually like Katie more because she is being very magnanimous, as she would say. And like, just extending that like helping hand to Dodie, who literally the second she leaves LA County, like, just starts binge drinking.
Such a
like,
fucking mess.
What is the deal?
So fun to watch. Oh my
God. So good.
Like, what's the deal? She's keeping that job. She's getting that paycheck. You know, she was like, okay, I got to bring it this trip.
Yeah.
Did you hear that stuff about, didn't she, Kristen said somewhere that it was Billy Lee who started those rumors
that
about
she was getting
promoted.
I love that.
I love that too. It's like
fucking
messy.
Good move, Billy Lee.
Yeah. It's like, cause that was really, all over the place.
It was all over the place. Ruffled so many feathers and like, caused a lot of drama.
Yeah.
But I wish that you would have done that on the air.
Like, let's see it.
Yeah, like, let's see it. Yeah, Kristen is so drunk. She eats a plant out of a planter.
Rewound it five times. Like, I literally watch it five times.
And then talk shit to that wine guy about Merlot.
Merlot's just like a basic bitch drink.
And like, Kristen, the way Kristen says it, like, there's a way to say that where it's like funny. And then she's like so accusatory, Dodie, like, and wants to just like attack and destroy someone. I'm just mad that we didn't get to see her fall over that chair. Yeah.
I mean, next week they're saving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish we would have, I would have preferred this episode. I think this episode was good comparatively for the season, mm-hmm. but I felt like it should have started in solving. And then we should have gotten like, it should have been a meatier episode.
Yeah.
It was like all that other stuff. Oh, well, the James mom stuff was good, but
James
was,
mom stuff was really good. But like,
I feel like we could have been in solving the whole time and then cut to James's mom.
Yeah. It's annoying to me that like we end this episode and like the big draw of next week is Kristen falls over. Like that's the big drama that, which is like, this is not the Vanderpump Rules that
we grew up
hooked
with.
Us. Yeah. From the jump. Yeah.
Yeah. Although that fall does look amazing. Like that fall looks so bizarre. Her limbs are at, you know, independent from her body.
It's a trip into just giving into a fall, into trying to get up, but being like too tall in like a confined space to like
a baby giraffe.
Like I've been there in that same like kind of entanglement type of fall.
You know, but I would argue too that maybe they shouldn't have shown it to us so many times.
Yeah.
Like wouldn't that have been a wonderful, just like a surprise moment?
But I think that the reason they're showing it is because they don't have much to work with.
Yeah.
I want answers. Can like a producer come forward or like, where's the whistleblower to like tell us what went wrong? We're 10 episodes in.
10 episodes in. There's no overarching storylines really. Like it's Jax and Brittany, I guess, are the main thing. But I don't think that's interesting. I'm not interested at all in a whole season about their wedding next season. I'm hopeful that it'll just be like their wedding first episode and then we move on.
Yeah, because I think they're getting married in June and that's like around the time that they start filming. So I hope that I can't do
a whole season of it.
Like the Tom and Katie,
no,
that took a lot out of me. It gave me a lot, but it also stressed me out.
Yeah, I could do maybe 2-3 episodes leading up to the wedding, then the wedding, and then 15 after.
Yeah, I like that.
That's what I would
Bravo
suggest.
Consultant.
If I was consulting, that's what I would recommend because we cannot have a full season. If the finale next season is their wedding, like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's rude.
Right.
Don't do us like that.
No. And then I'm also going to need some other big storyline. I'm going to need Kristen and Carter break up. I'm going to need some cheating scandal or something to happen.
Yeah, because nothing has happened. Like last season, we all knew going in, it was like Jax cheats on Brittany.
And look, Laura, here's something. If they want to keep this show going, they're going to need to give us shit. Like, I don't care. I know that it's their real lives, but they're going to need to get messy to keep this thing afloat. And you know what? Then bring other messier people in. If they're not willing to get messy, that's fine. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
They've done their time. Then they need to be willing to let messier people in to like fuck with their lives.
To pick up the mess slack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because someone has to do it.
And even James is so messy and wonderful TV. And I get like on a real life level how some of those girls might be like, I'm not filming with him. He's rude, whatever.
But like also,
but this is a show.
This is your show. Yeah. He's not, I mean, Katie standing up for like body positivity is just like a huge eye roll because she's not a fat person.
No.
And he's like, can say whatever. And it's like, okay, then fucking clap back at him and have a fucking spine and start drama with him and like fight with him. And then like move on with your lives. Like don't just like cut him out because you're like
It doesn't serve the show. It doesn't serve the show at all. Like, and any time these reality shows start to try to phase someone out or say they're not filming with someone, it just fucks the show up. And so, yeah, you might not like someone, but that's the job. It's an ensemble show. It's not a,
you know, it's always been.
So you either need to let people fuck with your lives, or you need to get in the mix and get down and dirty and give us something, or else, like, we're the... Stop watching it.
Yeah. The show is not called, like, Happy Healthy People of West Hollywood.
Right.
It's called Vanderpump Rules.
I feel like I'm talking trash about it, but I really do love it so much.
No, I love it. I'll never stop. I mean, honestly, I have, like, a podcast about it. Like, talk about nothing but Vanderpump Rules.
No, I like, it's the best thing we've ever seen on TV.
Like, yeah. I mean, I'll watch it until it goes off the air. And
I love these people so much.
Like, yeah, I care about them. I'm invested in their lives. And that's why I feel like personally, I take it personally when it's not good. Because
we care so much.
It feels personal.
Yeah.
But like...
And don't you feel like I always tell people how good Vanderpump Rules is. And I need it to always be good. Because I'm trying to turn people onto this show.
Yeah.
Because I know how good it can be.
If Vanderpump Rules suffers, my brand suffers.
Sure.
Which is like unfortunate. I'm now having a real, I'm like, I really hitched my ship to this, like, or whatever, tied it to the hitch or whatever that term is. But I'm like,
we've tied it to that.
Don't fuck with my fucking brand right now.
We need it to keep going. We need it to be good and keep going.
Thank you so much for being on this pod. If you're listening and you don't follow Danny, you should be following him. It's at Danny Pellegrino.
Yes, please do.
On all platforms, right?
And my podcast is Everything Iconic, so subscribe to that too.
Yeah, subscribe. You release 2 episodes a week?
Yeah, I'm like up to 3. I'm like 2 to 3 now because of the Lohan show, but I'm covering the Lohan show on an episode and then Vanderpump on an episode and then one about Housewives. Now with Beverly Hills, I'll be covering Beverly Hills.
Amazing.
And then sometimes I have celebrity guests.
Cool.
Sometimes I'll have like an actress over 50 and then people are like, what the fuck is this? And they get confused.
You're like, have you met me?
I'm like, yes, I'm having Bonnie Hunt.
This is what it's all about.
Yes, there's a full hour with me and Bonnie Hunt. Like, that's happening.
I love it. Yeah, I feel like also once you start podcasting, you take a liking to it, you slowly but surely end up having like 3 or 4 episodes a week.
I know.
Just like how it goes.
You can't stop it.
I can't say no.
It's a snowball.
Yeah.
People tell you, they're like, you know, once they start giving you notes, you just want to take them all in and do more episodes.
Well, until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.